If you don't mind, I will begin at the beginning.
It's a new day. Let's get going.
1, 2, 3.
Bad boy!
4, 5, 6.
B.I.G. Ah!
That's right. It's 12 midnight and time for that show you've heard so much about. The Rodney on the Rock program from midnight to 3 a.m. It's a new music show.
This reminds me of that old saying, you idiot.
Hitler, Mussolini, Stalin, Mao, Idi Amin, Castro, Pol Pot.
The Rodney on the Rock program.
Monsters.
But if an entire show just talks about my show all the time, I don't know what that says about that show, but wow.
Let's just sit quietly and consider how ridiculous that statement was.
Hey, Frank, how come you haven't gotten up yet?
I'm waiting.
Marijuana, you are my best friend. You get me so high.
Bogart that joint, my friend. Pass it over to me.
Hi, are you high?
Don't bogart that joint, my friend. Pass it over to me.
There's no pot.
Roll another one.
You got any weed?
Just like the other one.
God damn it, I love pot.
This one seems to be about to quit.
The bentonic is chronic.
And I need another hit.
It's our time to shine. 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 It's our time to shine.
That's how he rolls.
Yeah, that's hot.
Roll.
Who wants some munchies?
Just like the other one.
That's not pot.
This one seems to be about men.
Marijuana's bad. Good.
I don't have another cent.
I love it high.
But don't fuck up that joint.
Now exactly how much pot did you smoke?
Just pass it around.
Reynolds.
Now I'm looking for the bong. Now I'm finding the bong. Now I'm loading the bong. Now I'm in the bong.
Our feature presentation.
We're on the electric radio here. Hi, it's me, Doc on the Rock. Hope you hear me. I don't hear myself. A typical beginning to this typically ridiculous block of airtime that we call Open Line. How are you? I haven't been live on the radio with you people in a long time. It's such an experience. Are we on the air? Boy, I sure can't hear myself or anybody else, but that's all right. It always begins this way, and then Kevin and Bean will tape it, and they'll put it on and make fun of me on the weekday show. I don't know why I don't hear myself very loud. I don't know why the meters aren't showing that we are talking very loud. What would that be? Would that be a problem that I've created, or is it just the way things are? Tell me, producer. You got me fooled. Anyway, try that. No, it doesn't make a dang bit of difference. How are you? Anyway, is your day starting as badly as mine? Oh, Doc on the Rock never gets an even break when he comes in here once a year to do this show. Then tries to figure out why he sounds like he's talking in a tin box. Oh, well, let's try. Hello? Hello? Hello?
You know what? That's why. Oh, they'll love this downtown, folks. The idiot had the wrong mic on. That idiot would be me. Well, that gets the kinks out of the bones and the joints here, and when we can go on with Open Line. I had to do that. If anybody has a tape of this show, destroy it. I will maim the person who lets Kevin and Bean have that.
We had that about when it was done.
Doc snorts.
He does.
I didn't know that, I don't think. Wow.
Listen, things
Kevin, can... Bean, Lisa May, Money, somebody, please. Can somebody kill Doc on the Rock? God, he's the most annoying person I've ever heard in my life.
How dare you.
Please, someone kill that f***er.
He had the wrong mic on, so...
That's all it was.
It was probably... The mic that was probably 3 to 4 feet away was on, but the one right in front of his face was not.
A lot of drama before he figured that out.
Yep.
Yeah.
Didn't seem like... Seems like that'd be the obvious first guess.
It is...
Seems like?
It is... Well, no, I was going to say it is tough because you're working with so many things, but we do on the morning show, but he's just got the one mic. That's all he does.
And if you don't work in the studio, there is a color code. Mm-hmm. That matches the microphones.
Oh,
each of the microphones here in the
different.
Studio. Each of the microphones here in the studio has a given color, mm-hmm. and there's also the color on the given buttons. But it's totally different for each board setup. So these colors on the buttons might not correspond
might not
to
match.
The microphone. So I could see where Doc would get confused. But it took him an awful long time to try.
It did. And just for the record, because clearly he hasn't followed through with his threat, the person who's responsible for us getting that tape is Psycho Mike. So Doc, if you're still looking to kill the person who gave us the tape, that's your boy.
I think he was just looking to maim.
Yeah, you're right.
Oh, just maim. Sorry. Yes. But what is it? Here's again, we have to ask this question because it's never been successfully answered anyway. What does this mean?
Oh, they'll love this downtown, folks.
Who's downtown?
I don't know. We don't have an office downtown.
No.
There's not, I mean, maybe there are. I don't think so, though. I don't think there are, like, people that work for the company that have an office downtown someplace. I don't know what that reference is for.
All of K-Rock, everyone who runs K-Rock is in-house, is in this building. They're not downtown.
Right.
There are other people who work for our company that are downtown, but they don't oversee us, so that doesn't make any sense. I don't know what he can possibly mean by that, yet it's not worth it to me to talk to Doc to find out.
Well, he's on vacation this week, but I'd be more than happy to talk to him about it and find out because...
I'm sure it's just a term that people use.
Who's
where,
ever used
that's
that?
That's where corporate offices are. They're downtown.
Huh.
Maybe that's what he means.
It would never occur to me to say that because it wouldn't even make sense.
Yeah.
But,
Oh, they'll love this downtown, folks.
All right.
You ever tried a Cleveland steamer? It's awesome.
Well, that's something completely different.
If you want to see Doc in all his glory with his cane beating up Psycho Mike, you do have to go to krock.com, the Kevin and Bean page, and go to videos.
Yes.
Right? And the there's two new Mac PC commercials that, of course, have nothing to do with Apple. But we, I mean Mike, wrote them, and Doc was excellent in them. Really funny.
He did a really good job.
All right, let's talk about today's Kevin and Bean Show. It's Friday the 18th of, do you like it in the ass?
Well, we've done our good deed for the week. I think now I can make love to your anus without making God angry.
Lisa and I were walking in from the parking lot together.
Yeah.
I bet you were. Carpooling again?
Yeah.
And there were some people outside the fence, and they said, hey, how do we get in? And we realized at that moment that they were here to win a free car.
Yep.
Oh, that's right.
They
Today's the VW ready. Tiguan.
I think. Either that or they're robbers, and we just let them in.
We let them in.
They are an hour early, but yeah. I guess. Okay.
And when Kevin opened the gate, and they went, woo!
They were excited.
And then they just walked in.
Yeah, they're not supposed to be here for at least another hour,
yeah.
but
right.
maybe they think if they get here first in line, they'll win it. Everybody that qualified for the car is going to get a key. And then one of them will start the car, and they'll have a brand new car today.
It's pretty amazing.
Yeah.
Wherever they were driving in from, it probably took them half as much time leaving when they did versus
yeah.
if they had tried to arrive at 6:30.
That's
a good point. Yeah.
So we got that going on today. We also have Movie Beat.
Mm-hmm.
Tell you about all the new movies in the theater.
And here we go. You get the email from the K-Rock listener who went to either the midnight or the 3 a.m., I don't know, which screening of Batman.
Uh-huh.
And by the way, this is the first time I've seen one of these movies that's done the round the clock. I mean, I'm sure it's happened before. It's the first one that I kind of remember happening.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
I mean, you could go see it at 3:15 a.m. this morning, which is just bizarre. But he was in the theater, and he said, and I know you love the opening night crowds,
I do.
Kevin. I hate them. Can't stand them. I'd rather enjoy the movie than have to deal with the crowd.
Great energy, usually.
Uh-huh.
But I don't need energy from the audience to enjoy the movie. I bring whatever
you
I'm
do,
interested
man.
In.
You bring. No one brings energy like you.
But I'm there to see the movie, not the
right.
audience.
Me too, but we're different, so that's all right.
So apparently the crowd starts yelling. You know, one side's doing Marco, the other side's doing Polo. And then there's some sort of "that's what she said" chant that's going around. And then according to the email of Ricardo, and if you're still up, please call us, he says these two guys started fighting and Ricardo actually ends up punching a dude. And the theater manager comes over with a taser, threatens to start tasing people. And then everybody's yelling, "Don't tase me, bro," after that video. And apparently it just gets crazy and people are just jumping up and down on the seats and the whole deal. So
that's awesome.
That's sorry, that's maybe a screening to miss. But he says, "This Dark Knight thing is getting out of control."
It's a screening to make. You know, those people that go at 3:15, they're the people who stay up that late anyway. So they're just might as well head on over.
Yeah.
Go see it.
Yes.
They're crazy.
We also have funny man Patton Oswalt on the program today.
Yep.
Oh, he's awesome. Yeah.
Always very funny.
Mm-hmm.
In studio visit from the UFC light heavyweight champion of the world, Forrest Griffin.
Pussy. I need a burrito.
Oh, I'm sorry? Yeah, Mike. Go on. Say that louder.
Mark the tape.
Don't cough it.
Mark the tape.
What? What are you talking about? Mark what tape?
I didn't hear Mike. What did he say?
He coughed. Pussy.
Mm-hmm.
Interesting.
So we'll just find out what Forrest thinks about that.
Yeah.
I think why do you say that, Mike?
I didn't. Kevin's ridiculous. He was the one who yesterday said he was going to effing wreck him. Those were his exact words.
Mark Kevin the said. Tape.
Well, that wasn't me. What are you talking about? I don't know what you're talking
about.
All right. You're going to love this downtown. So anyway, that's coming up. We also are going to take a look at Lisa Bay's website.
Yes, finally.
Finally.
Put it off 3 days, well, bastards.
Well, sometimes other things come up.
Yeah, fine.
In
hello.
A perfect world, it will again. Just
no,
kidding.
No, we're doing it today.
Just kidding.
Damn it.
We're going to talk to listener Jessica, who had a little a little private show from Coldplay last night.
I can't wait to hear how that went.
And none of us were invited.
And she told us to be there Sunday at noon. Bitch!
Yeah. I know.
Hate it when that happens. So that's all coming up this morning on the Kevin and Bean Show. We'll take a quick break and come back with Ralph Schobin. You are listening to the Kevin and Bean Show on the world-famous K-Rock 106.7 KROQ at 5:48.
Ralph Garman joins us for the Friday morning first look at the Showbiz Beat. Hey, Ralph, what's going on?
Things.
Stuff.
All right. Thanks for stopping by.
All righty. I'm Ralph Garman. Go walk the Showbiz Beat.
Hey, you're giving away a car today, dude. How do you feel about that?
I cannot wait to see someone drive off in their brand new Tiguan.
I know, it's so cool.
The VW Tiguan.
It's a cool car. See it?
I did not. It's in the parking lot now?
It is.
Did not.
Yeah. I'll take it.
Is it too late to enter? Can we enter for that?
I think it's too late. Yeah.
How are they giving away? Everyone gets a key?
Everybody gets a key. One of them starts it.
Sweet.
Everybody qualified. We were doing it for about a month or two,
a
maybe.
A month?
A month. I'm ready to do that with my house.
Yeah? Already?
Yeah, the old one.
Oh, the old
still
one.
Still trying to move old joint.
Everybody
I'm
gets
ready,
key?
Everybody just to give just a bunch of keys away. And just like whoever opens the front door gets to just have it.
Well, Ralph, I'm sure you've thought of this. I'm not suggesting you do it, but dozens of times people have made it a lottery where you buy, you know, a $500 ticket or something like that, and they, you know, then they give it away to somebody who paid $500 for the house.
Yeah, that sounds shaky.
Do they get it enough to cover?
It's legit. Well, they don't do it unless they do. But
oh, I see.
It happens. I mean, you know, people from all over the world enter a contest like that because it's worth a shot.
Is it too legit?
It is too legit, yeah.
Have them send in $10 and just start sending random stuff from your house. Anything.
Something house, yeah. I'll call it. Douchebags will send me $10.
You knew it was going to be a little tougher to sell in this economy when you made the decision to move. I mean, you knew what you were up against.
Yeah.
And someone will come along because it's a great house in a great neighborhood. Yeah, you'll move it.
It's a matter of time, but you do lessen your buying pool, people, because it's a hard time to get a loan, you know.
That's right.
Sure
stuff,
is,
so.
Yeah.
But you make it up on the other end. You get a really good deal in the new house that you buy, so it all comes out in the wash. But it'd be nice not to have two mortgages.
Sure.
When I've been in that situation, all I do is the mantra I just repeat over and over again is it only takes one person. It only takes one person to sell it, you know?
My mother said she's going to send me a statue of St. Joseph that I'm supposed to bury in my yard. And that'll help me sell it.
Is that a joke?
No.
Really?
No. They say St. Joseph will help you sell your home. You get a statue of him and you bury it in your yard. And then that helps you sell the home.
Was she serious?
Yes.
Can we talk to her?
No.
Wow.
Look, I'm saying bring it. Bring on the St. Joseph, whatever it takes.
What's
who
the
am
downside?
I to say no to? Yeah, exactly. It's going to cost me 79 cents for a plastic statue of St. Joseph. Bury it.
Ralph's mom is crazy.
Well, here's the thing about people and religion. There's no figuring them out, you know?
Yeah, there's a lot of superstition. whatever.
And then somebody will come and go, we were going to buy that house, but they were burying crazy crap in the yard. I don't know.
I saw a dude burying a body. All right, there. Let's take a look at the showbiz news, shall we? Jennifer Garner, apparently, once again with child. She's 5 months pregnant with her second child with Ben Affleck, and this has been confirmed by her dad, Victor Garber.
It's nice.
Her
TV dad,
TV dad,
right?
No, he's her real dad.
Really?
He is?
She's so gay, though.
How about that?
How dare you, Lisa May, casting aspersions on Victor Garber.
No, it's not a dispersion.
He was in the CIA. He kicked major ass. I saw it.
And then he was singing and dancing in Eli Stone.
I'm happy for her, if that's what she and her husband want, but I sure miss Jennifer Garner being on TV and being in movies and stuff, because she's so good.
She's a full-time mom.
Yeah.
More or less. But they make good-looking kids. So it's all right with me. Sienna Miller can't get enough of her married boyfriend, Balthazar Getty.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. I would do everything to her. I would wreck that chick.
She's so nasty. I love her. Yeah. People magazine reports the two have been dating for the last 2 months, and you just can't go anywhere without seeing a picture of them making out in the nude. They've been all up and down the Amalfi Coast in Italy, and they've been just naked a lot. People are taking pictures of them, and they don't seem to mind.
It takes too long to take off your clothes.
Well, one person minds. Friends of his wife, Rosetta, apparently are saying that she's not too happy with their public nudity.
His current wife, the one that he's not
married to. Yeah,
separated from
his real wife with the four kids at home.
Yeah.
Isn't happy with this public display of affection.
She isn't?
She calls it, and I don't know where she's coming from, but her word is humiliating.
Jeez, what a bitch.
I know. Get over yourself.
A thicker skin.
Exactly.
No kidding.
I wonder he got away from that hag.
Oh, Jesus, can you imagine living with that? Oh, please don't get naked with a hot blonde and have people take your pictures while I'm here raising your kids. Whatever with you, lady.
That is kind of a bad attitude.
Your attitude. Give her the back of my hand. If I was Balthazar Getty. Give her the five-finger correction. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
F you effing bitch.
Meanwhile, Matthew McConaughey isn't just an actor, a surfer, and a new dad. Apparently, he wants to be a music mogul, too. The New York Post says he is starting up his own record label.
Yes.
Oh, and great time to do that.
He's already signed his first artist, a reggae singer named Mishka.
A reggae singer? Really? What a surprise.
Yeah.
Apparently, Matthew figured out the only way he could possibly inhale more marijuana smoke is to start hanging around reggae musicians. So he had to take the next step. Speaking of musicians, Pete Wentz.
Oh!
Isn't just a flimsy bastard on stage. He's also just as much of a Fruit Loop in real life.
Gay wad.
You won't believe what he's up to now.
What?
Star Magazine says that he is very proud and telling everyone he started sewing baby clothes for his upcoming baby.
Damn it. Sewing baby clothes.
Ashley Simpson is due around Halloween, and he said he's already started sewing clothes for the baby.
That's sweet.
Come on with the sweet.
Come on.
What a
don't get me wrong.
Flimsy mother
if it were my guy, I'd dump him.
How weak is that? Ridiculous. Sitting at home sewing baby clothes? What is wrong with you?
Knock, anyone gay?
We do now. Nicole Richie has become a paranoid neatnik, according to friends. Since she's given birth to her baby, Harlow, I've heard this happen with other new parents. She's become super paranoid about germs.
Sure.
And spends all day keeping the house spotlessly clean, double sanitizing anything that comes near her baby.
Yeah.
I guess that means Paris isn't stopping by to visit. if you're worried about diseases and germs, how do you let Paris Hilton into your house?
Good point.
Not a baby. Disinfect it in the world to clean that one up.
Put her in a double hazmat suit and still something would leak out.
That's like a super fun sight, having Paris stop by.
It would be. Justin Long apparently is in mourning his relationship with Drew Barrymore now that it's over. OK Magazine says he's got a new girlfriend, Kirsten Dunst.
Nope. Oh, no.
Nope.
Wow.
Nagletooth?
No. What? Did you say Kirsten Dunst?
Yep.
No.
Apparently the two have been spotted holding hands in Soho, New York, and they've got a bunch of photos of them hanging out together. That's a serious drop in quality right there.
No kidding.
Kirsten Dunst.
Really?
That's bad.
What's up, Kevin B?
Well, good news, I guess. Drew's available to watch.
TV news. We can look forward to another season of Keeping Up with the Kardashians.
Glendale!
E! Entertainment just announced a third season yesterday. Viewership is up 36% for season 2 over season 1.
Wow.
36% more people watch season two than the first one.
Well, there's just nothing on right now.
I watched a couple of the episodes of the first one, and it's
not interesting.
No, it isn't very good.
Well, the third season will show China Kardashian being taken into custody as she spends some time in prison for her.
That would be good.
Violated probation. Yes, I'm sorry I did it. I'm going to go inside now and make my amends. Giant, massive woman. And Edie Falco is returning to television.
Oh, good. She's great.
She is the best. You may know her, of course, as the singer of Rock Me Amadeus.
That's not her at all.
She's Carmela Soprano from The Sopranos.
That's who she is. And she did a great arc on 30 Rock, too. I saw her as
the politician
who was dating Alec Baldwin.
Oh, I don't
think she was the liberal Democrat. He, of course, was a hardcore Republican.
So they had to hide their relationship.
She'll be starring in a new series for Showtime in the fall. It's about a nurse in a New York City hospital trying to juggle a hectic personal life and all the demands of her job at the hospital. So, sounds like a good time.
Sure.
But there won't be any depression in that situation.
All positive.
And
hey, Ralph.
Yes, sir.
What will James Gandolfini do next?
I think he will...
Will he have trouble being typecast as Tony Soprano? Is that a role that's going to be very, very hard for him to shake?
Yes.
He's been in other movies and stuff, you know, after he became Tony Soprano, and it bugs me. It's like you're looking at Tony Soprano.
And when he talks in the not Tony voice, it sounds like he's putting on an accent or something, even though that's his real voice.
Because you know him so well.
Yeah. Yeah, I think he's going to be hard-pressed. He might have to drop out of the limelight for a while, take a couple years and just count his money, and then start back in again. He's going to need a break because it will be hard to see him in anything else.
What a great actor, though. Wow.
Speaking of great actors, we didn't talk about this yesterday when I was talking about the Emmy nominations.
Right.
But congratulations to the HBO miniseries John Adams, which I know Bean and I loved. Did you watch, Lisa?
I did. I liked it very much.
The most nominated program in the Emmys this year, 23 nominations for that show. Including Paul Giamatti and Laura Linney as the leads as John and Abigail Adams.
Well deserved.
That's great.
Boy, were they good in that. Kevin, did you enjoy it?
I didn't watch that.
You didn't watch
it? Nope. Looked like the opposite of something I would enjoy.
Because it was good.
He wouldn't
good.
Like it. Yeah.
Yeah, maybe.
Full of goodness.
Not 5 years ago.
Next best nominated show was Mad Men. Picked up 16 nominations.
Wow.
Huge for cable, right?
Yeah. Other big cable shows, Lisa, they got a lot of nominations. Damages did very well. Dexter did very well. And on the comedy side, 30 Rock picked up 17 nominations.
Wow. I didn't know they had that many categories for the Emmys.
Yeah, that's true.
A lot of them are multiple writing and directing and producing awards as well as acting. But so congratulations to your show.
I heard this year is, thanks to Mad Men and Damages, this is the first year that a basic cable show has ever been nominated for Best Drama. So it's a little bit of a breakthrough for those channels. Mm-hmm.
Today's celebrity birthdays... Chase Crawford, Private Eye.
Is he a Private Eye?
No, he's from Gossip Girl, actually. But he should be with that name.
Yeah.
Chase Crawford. He is 23 years old today. Ryan Cabrera, the singer, is 26. Darian Malakian, guitarist for System of a Down and Scars on Broadway, is 33 years old today. Vin Diesel.
Vin Diesel is 41 years old today.
James Brolin, Mr. Barbara Streisand, turns 68. And Dave is in the other room, just can't help touching himself. Just rolling around the floor, just like a puppy in poop.
Don't want to hear that.
Kristen Bell celebrates her 28th birthday today.
Right.
All right, Dave. If only we had a present to give Kristen Bell on her birthday. If we only had
something appropriate.
Yeah. We only had a salt and pepper shaker set.
Got it. Got that.
That looks like and a round moon faced Mexican. If we only had those things to
have
give
those
her.
Things.
What?
Have them.
Why haven't we given them to her?
Ordered them. They're here.
And they're just sitting in a drawer somewhere.
They're waiting for her.
I talked to Dave about that. And he said that she, because, you know, Dave has her diary. Somehow it shows up on his end every time she writes up. So he knows everything about Kristen Bell, what she's doing every minute of every day, always. And apparently she's overseas. She's filming a movie in Europe or someplace, or Rome or someplace. So he wants to wait till she gets back because he thinks there's less chance that it'll get lost. She'll get it more likely if he mails it to her when she returns.
The whole thing is very suspect.
Yeah. Well, that's what Dave says.
Well, we just need to keep an eye on it because Dave didn't even order. Remember, we went back to him after talking about it on the air. We said, did you order it? And he went, no, I didn't.
Yeah, we had to take every step for him along the way.
They didn't look real enough. They
I don't like it. Me. It's not me.
He's not trying very hard to win over the alleged love of his life.
It's the no game game.
No game game, dude.
I guess.
But he's just going to wait for her to come to him.
Since today's her birthday, he is in the other room licking the salt shaker that looks like her, which is very disturbing to watch. I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the showbiz beat.
Is this rumor I've been hearing true? The website I've been waiting my entire adult life has finally debuted online this week. Is that true, Lisa?
Well, I'm not sure it's the website you want because you're a pervert and a freak, but it's my new website.
Yes, that's the one we all want.
Tell us what it is. Tell us what the address is.
It's Lisa May. Virginia has LisaMay.com and sells real estate. I hate her so much.
Bitch.
She's
a whore because it's her actually her name and she uses it to promote her legitimate business. That's what makes her a whore?
It's my name, too. It's actually my name. I didn't make it up.
Well, no, there's not one name in the whole world, though.
There's only one Lisa May. Let's be real.
Well, there is in my heart, that's for sure.
So LisaMay.net, we go there. It says at the top, greatest multidimensional Hollywood talent of a generation.
Exactly.
And star of the Kevin and Bean Show, 106.7 FM, K-Rock.
Yes.
That's accurate. I don't think anyone would argue with that. Clearly, the reason people are listening is Lisa.
And then there's a huge picture on the front page of Megan Fox, which I think it
that
was
is not. Wait,
very
let me
smart
pull it
of
up.
You to do that.
Let
I think
me
that,
pull it up.
Because you know what your people
that is
want.
Just stupid.
Megan Fox.
What happened?
See?
Wait.
There's a picture of Megan Fox.
I
you didn't
know,
put that up there?
No.
Because I think
is it possible that Kevin did?
That was a nice choice.
No, Kevin. How could you put? No.
Look at her.
Wait, let me look at photos.
Look at Megan Fox.
Let's
look at photos.
All the photos of Megan. Every damn photo.
Look at those pictures of Megan Fox.
Hell?
Look at that one.
That's like she's like a teenager.
The one with the green top.
Yeah.
Is there like a way that a website, like a phone line, crosses or something with another one?
No. Look at that one. She's wearing that black see-through thing.
That's just too much to take.
Oh,
see,
Megan
this is
Fox.
What I love. The captions are Lisa and some listeners at the K-Rock Microbrew Festival.
Yeah, the captions are the same.
Here's Lisa and a listener at the Weenie Roast. Yet every single one of the pictures is Megan Fox in some sort of lingerie.
Oh, this is great. I'm so proud of you for doing this.
There's one at the bottom with me.
Right.
Way in the background.
Right, you can't be seen,
with
really.
With an arrow. Because you... What the hell did you... You guys have...
Well, you did tell us three days ago that you had the site.
How can you do this? Did you work with Matt? No, he would never do that to me. He's my friend. What the...
Hey!
I didn't say it. Wait,
is he your web guy?
Yeah.
Watch the language.
Well, you'd be surprised what people do for acoustic Christmas tickets.
You guys.
Look at these pictures of
what
Megan Fox.
What did you?
Dear God. Well, let's just see.
What did you change?
Let's go to radio.
I have clips from our show.
Right, radio
clips.
Well,
you can't be unhappy with that.
Every year, Kevin and Bean get Lisa a gift for Christmas from QVC, but it's not just any gift. And then you have your letter to Santa.
Right.
And
it's funny.
Okay, let me click on it and see what's there.
Looky, your ass is like a cookie.
Oh,
gonna inject it and kill it just like its name was Tookie.
Whoa, look at that sound. That's great.
That's
wonderful. That's not what you put up, Lisa?
That is not what I put up.
Lisa shows off her astounding command of voices when she plays George Takei's Sulu sister.
You can't object to that. That's funny.
Let's click on it.
And now, a moment with Lisa May.
Hey, this is Lisa May. I'll be there pounding some brews.
That was a moment with Lisa May.
That is not my fabulous Lika, by the way, which people would like to hear.
And then there's another one about QVC.
It's the joke we played on you guys for QVC. Called up and
let's click on that.
I like my hoes thick with some big juicy asses with their skin nice and smooth. It'd be looking like molasses.
Yes,
oh, Lisa, God, that's not representative of you. Come on.
Why would you put that audio up?
Don't put that up there. Jeez.
Maybe you should have spent more time on the firewall.
Called my mom yesterday.
Oh no!
Be sure to.
Oh, I didn't know that.
Website. It takes her a day or two.
All right, let's go back to the photos.
Nice.
Look at Megan Fox.
Oh, let's not look at Megan. I had very nice pictures.
She is so hot.
K-Rock listeners and me and...
Oh,
but why so many pictures of Megan Fox on your site? I still don't understand that, Lisa. Why'd you do that?
Much.
All right, what's the voice section? Is this for commercials or something?
Yeah, I have a voiceover reel.
Oh, okay.
By the way, would be nice to have up there because...
Of course.
Could get some work, maybe?
Of course.
All right.
So this is for people who want to hire you to do commercials, right?
Right.
All right, okay. Let's click on that.
See what that sounds like.
Piled high with mozzarella and toasted garlic bread.
It's not lacking any meat. And that's what real women need.
Wait, what? I didn't even hear you in this. What is this about?
That is her. That's her. That's
right, let me keep going. Then.
Hi, this is Mary of Mary's House of Fashion.
One of Lisa's early commercials.
Where you are treated like a queen.
It doesn't sound anything like
princess
you, Lisa.
Prices.
Mom, I started my first period. It was this afternoon when I was changing into my gym clothes.
Playing
and I noticed
girl.
A bit of blood on my panties. And I thought, well, I didn't know what to think.
Okay, I think that's
good vocal work, don't you think?
She really is the woman of a thousand voices.
Yeah. Dude, keep going with it. Quite it the gets range. Better.
And now I remembered when we talked about menstruation and stuff.
Hi, I'm a middle-aged housewife, and what with pressures of raising kids, earning a living, I just don't have the same sex drive I used to.
Yes.
Until I started taking a new pill that came on the market called Horny Bitch.
Horny Bitch.
I'm a housewife.
I could actually do that.
That is a good vocal reel. See, she can make herself sound like a 13-year-old girl.
No kidding.
And like a middle-aged housewife. I don't know how she does it, but that's an amazing vocal
isn't
reel.
Really helping my career. So
yeah, well, it's funny.
Oh, look what you did to my resume.
What did I do to your resume?
Very nice. Objective. I very much like to further my career as a premium entertainer in the adult industry by reaching out to new distributors and being penetrated by them simultaneously. Here are my films. Big Blowout 2.
Well, that
Fun
was a
Bag
good one.
Fantasies. Mm-hmm. Liquid Gold.
Yeah.
Rub the Muff.
Right.
Lesbian Big Boob Bangaroo.
Look.
Big Blowout. Fire in the Hole Butthole Week series.
We've been waiting for Elisa May.
Theater. The Vagina Monologues 2. The Twat Talks Back. That's really well done, you guys. Thank you so much.
Look. We have been waiting for a Elisa May website for a long time, and you have delivered.
That's right.
Okay, wait. There's a Lisa Recommend section.
You plus us.
You.
I don't think we changed that.
You didn't change
that. I mean, I don't think whoever changed this changed that. What's the recommendation?
This was the whole point of talking about the website.
I wish I would have seen the recommendation page. I could have changed that too.
I'm in a new show.
I know.
Starting tonight called The Next Big Thing.
It's
a musical about an 80s garage
you sing?
Band. No, they don't let me sing.
Wait, you're in a musical,
you
but
sing.
You don't sing?
No, you rap, though.
I'm not in it for a long time.
You're in a play that's a musical, but you don't sing.
Because I can't, but they let me be in it anyway. It's really, really good. It's at the Artworks Theater in Hollywood on Santa Monica Boulevard. You can go to my website.
Yes, lisamay.net.
It's still there.
Yes.
And check out all the information, and I'm going to do it on Friday nights and Saturday this week.
How did I miss Lisa Recommends? I got voice.
Please go to Lisa Recommends, and then you can see
radio.
The freaking photos with freaking Megan freaking Fox.
Go to the photos first.
Son of a bitch.
Before they're gone. Before somebody pulls them off, because Lisa's going to make a phone call. I got a question for you, Kevin, since you're the downtrodden Republican on the show who gets beat up all the time. Why is it that your people are only ever involved in gay sex scandals? Why is it the Democrats always cheat with women and the Republicans always cheat with men?
Great question.
It is a great question.
any conclusion?
Nope. I wish I did. Alabama Attorney General Troy King is the person we're talking about now, and it seems like it's always the people who are the most outspoken against are the ones that get caught in the scandals.
Yep.
Now, this guy was the guy, and we talked about this before, in Alabama, who outlawed the selling of sex toys.
Right.
Oh, my gosh.
Remember that? Remember when he banned?
Which is so ridiculous.
It's illegal to sell sex toys in Alabama because this guy was the attorney general.
And stop and think about that for a moment. Don't just let that roll past you, okay? For adults in their own homes to use for private and personal pleasure a sexual aid. This is not a gay, straight thing. It's just people who want something that makes them feel good. How can that possibly be banned in the state of Alabama? Well, it's because this guy apparently is the most uptight guy in the world, or so we thought until this week.
And he also, there are plenty of statements about gay sex where he's coming out loud and saying this is bad, this is the downfall of society, this is blah, blah, blah. One thing after another, after another, after another.
This is rich.
So according to this story, his wife caught him.
Oh, yes.
In bed.
The best ever.
In bed with a dude.
With a dude.
with a dude.
Did they have a toy?
I don't know.
Oh, I hope it's so.
It's the people who are the most vocal that we need to be afraid of.
You know what? It's because he never had sex that was fun, so he didn't want anyone else to, and then finally he just exploded and got what he really wanted.
Whoa. A little less play-by-play from you, Lisa. Save that for your website.
I mean emotionally.
Sure, of course.
Well, he was apparently, and it's not it's still being denied by Attorney General King, apparently caught in bed with a former homecoming king at Troy University. So we thought, let's just go ahead and get to the bottom of it. Why all the speculation? Let's bring the Alabama Attorney General Troy King on the phone with us right now on K-Rock. Good morning, sir.
Good morning, Kevin and Bean. How are you?
You're very good, sir. How are you?
I'm well, sir. Thank you.
All right.
Well, this is a tough week for you and your people. I mean, you've been talked about as an up-and-coming star in your state, even that you might even run for governor in 2010. This is going to hurt that, though, isn't it?
I don't believe this will hurt that at all. I still intend to continue my political career once these lies that have been spread about me have been proven to be false.
Okay, so they are lies.
This is madness. Uh-huh. These rumors that have been circulated that I have engaged in the evils of homosexuality is not only an affront to me personally, but also to the great state of Alabama.
Well, you get an argument with me on the great state of Alabama, but we won't go there.
How dare you, sir?
Do you still think homosexuality, sir, is the downfall of society?
I do indeed. I do, but okay. I believe that this rampant perverse sexuality, not only the homosexuality, but these use of the sex toys and these other things have greatly contributed to the downfall of our great American society.
Okay, so how did you then end up in bed with a former homecoming king from Troy University?
That is an out-and-out lie, sir.
So that did not happen?
No, the young man in question, the homecoming king of Troy University, he and I are both wrestling aficionados. And in the great tradition of the Olympics, we were simply engaging in some Greco-Roman wrestling.
Where exactly on the
bed?
You doing it?
Well, safety first, I always say, when it comes to wrestling. So you want a nice soft substance underneath you, either a wrestling mat or a king-size sirta.
Okay.
But can you see how your wife walks in and you're, say, wrestling with a young man on the bed, how that could easily be misinterpreted?
I understand that she does not appreciate the classic Greco-Roman style of wrestling. Nor could you understand that in the tribute to the original Olympians, we were doing it in the nude.
Oh, man. So you didn't even have the singlet on?
But her confusion and lack of knowledge regarding wrestling is hardly my consideration at this point.
Until you're sleeping on the couch in the living room.
I'm sorry, gentlemen. You called me just before I'm heading out to a meeting. I haven't had my breakfast. Do you mind if I just eat a banana real quick?
Okay.
While we're talking?
Sure, go ahead.
All right, thank you.
Now... Boy, he's enjoying that banana.
What are you doing with that?
I'm eating a banana.
This guy likes bananas.
Oh, that's so good.
Lord.
Oh, God, I love bananas.
It's kind of disgusting.
Oh, only Mike is enjoying this at this point.
Mr. Attorney General, are you almost done with the banana?
We had follow-up questions. Troy,
how long can you make a banana last?
Oh. Not very long. Goes right down pretty quick.
Yeah. Was this just a one-time wrestling thing, or do you wrestle with the homecoming king on many occasions?
Well, we have a history of wrestling together, but I believe now that is... been tabled for the time being. I don't think we shall be wrestling again anytime soon.
Okay.
What are you doing?
What's going on now?
What is that, sir?
Troy? I'm just using some personal electronics.
For what?
Sounded like some kind of a vibrator.
Just a wake-up call.
Sounded... You're awake and talking to us on the phone, though.
I know, but I wasn't fully awake. Not every part of my body was awake.
Was that a vibrator?
No, sir. Oh. I find them reprehensible.
Right.
Mr.
Attorney General, what's happening? What is this?
The South will rise again. Okay, I'm sorry.
I missed the banana.
You were saying?
106.7 K-Rock is KROQ, and it's the Kevin and Bean Show at 6:53.
Funny man, Patton Oswalt on the other side of the glass. He'll be joining us after the news. He's Ratatouille, don't you know?
He's on the other side of the glass?
Yeah.
Can he put him on the glass?
Would you say he can put him on the glass? Is he giving us a pressed ham?
No, he's in the office. He's in the office.
Giving us a Danny Thomas?
Yeah, he's there.
What's he doing?
He's on the other side of the glass.
A Chuck Berry?
Okay.
Yeah. Anyway, the point is that Patton Oswalt joins us coming up next hour on the Kevin Bean Show. Plus, we're going to give away a new car. And Forrest Griffin, UFC champ, joins us in the 9 o'clock hour. All that straight ahead, the movie beat, and more. Ralph is here with the Showbiz Beat right now at 6:53.
Speaking of movies, The Dark Knight opens today, the new Batman movie, on a record number of movie screens. Never before has a movie been in this many theaters at one time.
Really?
Wow. And here we go.
4,336 theaters.
What's a normal weekend?
About 3,000 for a big movie, 3,500. That's a lot of screens.
So another 1,000 screens this is on.
Yeah.
Wow.
Some Cineplexes are playing it on every screen. Like you have an 8-plex, you know? Every screen is showing Dark Knight.
Yeah, I'd like to see...
Let's see. What do you think about The Dark Knight?
Well, you know, The Dark Knight starts in about 15 minutes.
All right, well, no, I'd rather see The Dark Knight.
It is funny when you go to the theater and you see a 1:30 show and then a 2 and then a 2:15 and then a 2:45. It's crazy.
94 IMAX theaters will be showing it throughout the great United States. And Fandango, which sells tickets, of course, online to movies, told The Hollywood Reporter yesterday they expect today to be their biggest ticket-selling day in the company's history.
Wow.
This is going to be a big movie.
Yes, it is. You're saying it's going to make money?
I don't think you're getting my point. This is not going to be a small film.
It's popular.
It'll do
now?
Pretty good.
It's not going to lose money.
If it does well, will it be on more screens next weekend?
Yes.
I don't think it's possible.
They're going to start showing it just on billboards and in people's homes and the back of your head. It'll be everywhere. You won't be able to avoid it.
What if you're Mamma Mia and you're trying to find screens to let you run your movie? I mean, in some theaters, it's got to be tough.
They're going to do it in individual seats, like in an airplane. You're just going to be able to watch on a little screen.
Little DVD player.
That's it. Yeah. It's bad news for Mamma Mia.
Speaking of musicals.
Yes.
There's a another Broadway musical based on yet another movie in the works.
Great.
Hollywood Reporter tells us that the 1983 film Valley Girl, starring Nicolas Cage, will be a new musical.
Not interested.
It was a popular movie.
It was.
Not interested.
You have to star in it, Ralph, and it has to be Valley Boy.
Valley Boy is just a Valley Boy. Valley Boy is just a Valley Boy. Like, oh my God, Ralph.
You know, as I look over the story again.
Mm-hmm.
I stand corrected. It's going to be a movie musical. They're remaking the movie into another movie, but the movie will be a musical.
Oh,
this won't be a stage musical. This will be a remake of the film, but the new film will be a musical.
Oh, I see.
Let me think about that.
Not interested.
All right. Let's give it another shot.
It's been a while since I've seen that. That's one of Nick Cage's early, early movies,
right? He's great in it, too.
Is that the one where he eats the cockroach?
No. That's Vampire's Kiss, I think.
Vampire's Kiss. Okay, yeah. Gotcha.
No. Valley Girl, he plays... like a punk rock dude, and he falls in love with a valley girl, and they're sort of at different ends of the pop culture spectrum, like Romeo and Juliet, but they still find true love.
Not interested!
Oh, come on, there's got to be something
like greatest lines ever in that movie, the Valley Girl movie. He plays the only job he can get is an usher in a movie theater,
mm-hmm.
And this dude comes up to him, the kid's all stoned, he's like, is this movie in 3D? Nicolas Cage goes, no, but your face is.
No, he doesn't.
Yeah, it does.
Oh, my God.
Doesn't make any sense whatsoever, but it's a classic.
I hope that makes the remake.
No, but your face is. More movie news. Will Ferrell. Remember him?
Yeah.
No, I'm not familiar with Mr. Ferrell.
He was live here yesterday. Live and in color.
He's just in the studio yesterday along with John C. Reilly. They got Step Brothers opening up next week. Hollywood Reporter says, and I wish we had known this, we could talk to him about it. He's just signed to do a new film called Two-Face, where he will play a character with a split personality. One personality is a bleeding heart liberal. The other is a racist.
That guy. What would he need him for?
Oh, come on.
Makes good movies.
I'm laughing already. Megan Fox.
I don't even want to hear that name.
That's so hot.
Stupid Megan Fox.
Go to lisamay.net if you want to see more photos of Megan Fox.
Yeah, that's hot.
She says that her acting jobs are dangerous. And she has had 4 injuries already while shooting the sequel to Transformers.
God, she's hot.
Playboy hot.
She says at the end of the day, after a set, she winds up black and blue all over her butt and her thighs and her arms.
And I guess you guys would like to see that.
Like to make that happen.
I want to see that. I want to lick the bruises until they're healed.
Boobs. Is that how it works? You just lick it.
I've got
wound until it heals.
I've got special saliva. I'm like a dog. I have a clotting agent in my saliva.
Boobies.
I like to give her some of my clotting agent. If you know what I'm saying.
There's something wrong with that child. You just don't say things like that.
And now we know what's wrong with The Who. Remember I told you last week that Pete Townsend was writing all kinds of angry things on his website saying The Who is dead and you're better off seeing a tribute band and you don't want to see us pretend to be who we used to be and blah, 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 blah. Well, apparently there's a huge feud going on between Pete Townsend and Roger Daltrey, the last remaining members of The Who. They're currently touring, but they're not speaking to each other.
Oh, that's got to be fun.
They have separate dressing rooms and everything, and then they just show up?
On their list, in their contract, here's what they demand. Separate dressing rooms on opposite ends of any given hallway. Separate travel arrangements, separate hotel accommodations, as well as separate staffing. So if you have someone running the event, there has to be a staff just for Pete and one just for Roger.
Wow. Any word on what they're fighting over?
Yes. The New York Post says there's a lot of tension and fighting going on right now because of the selection of material that they're playing. Roger is furious with Pete because Pete is writing all this new Who material, and he wants to perform the new stuff live, but Roger wants to give the fans the classics, My Generation, Won't Get Fooled Again, Pinball Wizard, and that kind of stuff.
Can't they
I'm
do
sorry.
A mixture?
Who?
Can't they do a mixture
literally.
Of both?
I guess it's a matter of how much the mixture, you know, what the percentage is of classic to new.
You would think people would want the classic.
Of course that's
you?
What of they course. Want. They don't want to hear Pete Townsend's new freaking auditorio about child pornography, whatever the hell he's working on. It's bad.
That guy. What do you need him for?
The tour kicks off in Detroit October 21st and runs all the way through the fall and the winter. So they're in for a long, miserable
no kidding.
Year.
Good times.
I didn't see all of the Who tribute show on VH1 last night. I did see Pearl Jam, and they were unbelievable. Horn section, string section, they just couldn't have sounded any better. They did a couple of Who numbers. I saw some of Incubus, saw some of Foo Fighters. Never saw Pete and Roger in all the interview segments together, though. They were never in the same room when they were being talked to.
Apparently they're not speaking. Isn't that stupid after,
yes,
what, 40 years they've been together?
It's like they're in third grade.
Come on, for God's sakes. You know, even if you're just doing it to make a buck and you're cashing in on the nostalgia factor or whatever that is, just do your job and just, you know, don't make each other's lives a living hell.
Doesn't seem like it's that hard.
I heard Pete Townsend's a bit of a ball buster.
Oh, you think?
Yeah. He seems like a rough guy to work with.
A-hole?
Today's celebrity birthdays, Chase Crawford, Private Eye. He is from Gossip Girl. 23 years old today. Ryan Cabrera is 26. Darian Malakian.
Glendale.
System of a Down scars on Broadway. He is 33 years old today. Vin Diesel's 41. James Brolin turned 68 years old today. You ever see Capricorn 1, that movie I told you to get, Kevin?
No.
About them faking the Mars landing?
No.
With James Brolin as the star? O.J. Simpson co-stars. Telling
I read it over the 4th of July break, Ralph.
Did you?
Because I hadn't seen it in a while. O.J. must have 3 lines in the whole movie?
Yes.
They don't give him much to do, do they?
And even that was a heavy load for him to carry as an actor.
It sure was. Yeah.
She said.
68 years old today. And Kristen Bell, one of our favorites around here. Star of Veronica Mars and now, of course, Heroes.
I love her.
28 years old today. Dave King of Mexico is having his share of himself all day because of this. I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the showbiz beat.
There's a dude in here that looks a lot like that dude that is funny.
That's
no dudes here.
It's a dude
he couldn't make it, but Patton Oswalt is here. If that's who you're referring to, the gentleman in front of you.
Excellent. Right.
The Kevin and Bean Show on K-Rock. Patton Oswalt is here, of course, with 2 big shows tonight, 2 big shows tomorrow night at the Irvine Spectrum. Improv.com. Check it out. Patton, how are you, my friend?
I'm unnaturally peppy because of the black coffee. This upbeat.
5 minutes ago, I saw you dragging your ass in here.
Yeah,
he's going to die.
Yeah, I realized when I went into that office, you were sitting there, and I didn't acknowledge anybody because I was still getting my. It was like I had my vowels, but not my consonants.
Yeah, anyone could have jumped up and down in front of him. You could have been nude. Wouldn't have made any difference. Yeah.
Just, wow.
Is there days. A chair I can sit in and check email and drink coffee? Good. Sad.
And I saw your name come up in a news story the other day, and it surprised me.
And I know this is the time of year where every school is it's crunch time to find a speaker for graduation.
Oh,
did you do that for some school? You were gave a commencement address?
Yeah, I went to my old high school. They asked me to do the commencement address, and indeed I did. I went and did it last month.
Did anyone know you?
I'm
not trying to be insulting, but...
Oh, no. There were some people from... there were some of my old professors. I mean, teachers were there.
Teachers, right.
High school teachers. A lot of the kids were, oh, yeah, we watched King of Queens, which I was kind of shocked at.
Right.
It was, what's really weird? It's just like in real life, whenever I'm in a Starbucks and one of the employees recognizes me, it's clearly the employee that the other employees don't like and don't want to hang out with. That's the guy that's, I watch you on television. This is a guy, he's on the King of the Queens. And they go, great, Ronnie, just give him his tea and get him out of here. So I'm like, it's like I'm someone's model train hobby. So that's how I get recognized.
You're the king of the geeks is what it is. You're the king
yeah.
of the geeks.
Yeah.
What advice? See, I always wonder about these speeches, and sometimes they get people just because they're famous.
Right.
But what advice did you have for high schoolers? Because you're not so far removed that you can't remember what it was like to be them.
Yeah, I think that was kind of an advantage. I was, I printed the speech on my website. Not that I'm trying to get people to go there. You can read it or not. Basically, my advice was.
Wear sunscreen?
Yeah. That was a great speech. Right, like a week before I gave the speech, my wife gave me, she found a commencement speech online that David Foster Wallace gave at Kenyon College, and it's one of the greatest things I've ever read.
Uh-huh.
So I had to work just as hard on my speech as I had to work on not taking anything out of his speech and putting it into mine.
I would.
So,
and that's why you need to be more lazy and just transfer it straight across.
I should have just gone up and said, I was going to write a speech, but I read this one and I'm going to read it. It still works. Basically, the advice I gave was try to right before I graduated, some dude gave me this weird advice about there are five environments you can live in.
Okay.
On the planet: beach, mountain, desert, plains, and city. And you'll go to one of these environments, and you'll just thrive. It'll be the place you should be, and then you'll live in other places, and you'll just wither. So it's up to you to kind of travel around a little bit and figure out where you
boring.
Really.
That's kind of interesting.
And then I talked about my balls.
Excellent.
Okay, now we're getting somewhere. Know your audience.
I forgot I was on the Kevin and Bean show. I thought I was on Fresh Air.
next thing, Psycho Mike, who's always been a Patton Oswalt fan since as long as we've known him, he has been raving lately about some commentary he heard you do about his favorite movie of all time. Mike, set it up. How did this happen?
Well, the movie Deathbed,
yes,
is, I mean, it's a cinematic achievement.
Oh. This is on just to make sure everybody gets this, this is on the bad list, at the very bottom of the bad list.
Oh,
it's
yeah.
so low that it's quite entertaining.
It's Mike, like that was Ronald. Actually,
yeah.
that was very diplomatic when you said it is an achievement
yeah.
because somebody finished it.
Yeah.
It truly is an achievement.
And I've always been interested by this movie, whether or not it was something someone did on purpose or if it was a joke or a cult, kind of a cult.
Right.
Inside joke thing, and you do a whole chunk on Deathbed and how people could even have the idea to try to really set up craft services and
yeah.
sets and things to make a movie about a bed that eats.
It's the bed that eats.
Yeah, it
is
eats,
the slogan.
Yeah, people have sex on the bed and it eats them because the bed is evil. That's the whole plot line.
But at least the special effects are horrible.
Oh yeah, and it's somehow narrated by a picture on a wall. I mean, it really makes you question if you haven't finished things in your career. What stopped me from seeing that idea through if this guy thought up Deathbed
yeah.
and finished it and, cast it, got up early every day. There was craft service. They made food for people. People got up and drank coffee and ate bagels so they could have the fuel to act in Deathbed. Every day they had to go, all right, we got those scenes done today for Deathbed, the bed that eats. Now let's all go to sleep so we can be up tomorrow to film yet even more.
Don't stay up too late, people.
Yeah,
we got
people,
a big day tomorrow.
We got so much to do tomorrow. And they somehow fit. Nobody on the set said, hey, does anyone realize we're filming Deathbed, the bed that eats? And some actors had to go, I'm about to be naked in Deathbed,
yeah.
the bed that eats.
At least it's worth it. you know, their first nude scene. Yeah.
Right. This will pay off.
Did you come across that at some point on television and just sit there with your mouth open going, I can't believe what I'm watching
right
now?
I don't think it would show on TV.
No, no, because it's like a weird early. I heard about it and read about it, and it, just the knowing that it existed and that it was on DVD is what made me kind of go into a tailspin, a personal. I had a real personal crisis.
You really thought I have done so little with my life, and look at this person accomplished this.
There was a script last year that I was actually writing for Will Ferrell's company that I wasn't finishing, and it was around that time that I was really thinking, what the heck? Why can't I finish this? When this guy did Deathbed.
Did you introduce the Deathbed character into the Will Ferrell
It was part movie? Of my. It was part of my plea when I didn't finish it was, hey, listen, I kind of had a tailspin. They went, okay, fine, whatever, get out of here, you idiot.
I got to tell you, I love Bad. I really, really love Bad. And this one even puts me to sleep. I can only watch little parts of it at a time because it's so awful.
Yeah, and it's ostensibly kind of a nudie flick, and it puts you to sleep.
Yep.
Oh,
it's an exploitation nudie monster movie, and you could not be more bored.
More than 10 minutes and you will die.
Yeah,
it's that bad.
I have a feeling that there's like stacks of these DVDs on Guantanamo Bay that they're, you know. Some guy's lying on a waterboard going, at least I'm not watching Deathbed. That's all I know.
This is bad, but it's no Deathbed.
Yeah, it's not Deathbed.
Patton Oswalt is here. He'll be at the Irvine Spectrum for two shows tonight and eight at 8 and 10 o'clock, and then two shows tomorrow night, 7 and 9. Anything special going on tonight at the event, Patton?
Well, tonight on the second show, and I just realized this yesterday. This is how on top of my own life and career I am. I turned 20 years old on stage. This is my...
You've been doing comedy for 20 years.
20 years to the day. My first open mic was on July 18th in Washington, D.C. It was a nightmare, and hopefully tonight will go better.
Shouldn't you be doing better after 20 years then?
Yeah, that's what I was thinking,
better
too.
Better than like, he is, you mean?
So I'm celebrating 20 years at the Irvine Spectrum? Really? That's what 20 years get you? Now, yeah, forget Radio City or, you know, or the Wiltern. I'll be at the Irvine Spectrum.
Well...
And happy to be there, by the way.
You take who loves you, man. That's what you do.
Yeah, exactly.
All right, Patton Oswalt is here. We'll take a quick next, we're going to go outside into the parking lot. We have a bunch of K-Rock listeners out there, and we're going to give away a brand new VW Tiguan.
Yeah.
Give away a new car, honestly. So that's nutty.
How desperate are we for listeners that we're now giving away cars to people who will tune in? I mean, come on.
Sad. You are turning into like one of those weird Midwestern morning shows.
We are.
Come on down. We're going to throw donuts off the roof. You bring a bucket back and you catch some of them donuts, you're going to win yourself a keep cold beer muff with a Flappy and the Bean.
I imagine that
Flappy
you've done,
and the Bean. I like it.
I imagine you've done a lot of those shows crisscrossing the country.
Oh, dear. We That's, got Patton Oswalt here from Hollywood, Ferg, and he's going to be at Flapjacks all weekend, so here we go.
The stories we hear from our comic friends, whether it's Lewis Black or Jay Moore or any of them that come in that do what you do across the country, they never stop laughing at some of the shows that they're on that they just can't believe are actually on the radio.
And they're huge.
But I'm also guessing that when those people leave our studios, they talk about us that way.
I bet they do.
That's my guess. These guys are in Los Angeles. They're horrible.
Yeah, but it's the fact that I'm not dealing with jet lag and I can drive here from my house.
That helps.
That makes it so much.
Hey, listen, let me get the plug out real quick because if you don't know, Patton Oswalt is in town this weekend for four big shows at the Irvine Spectrum. Two tonight, 8 and 10 o'clock. Two tomorrow night, 7 and 9 o'clock. And next weekend, you're going to be at the Comic-Con, by the way. You're doing a Mystery Science Theater 3000 panel. Which, of course, is that late, great TV show that continues on the internet and on DVD. And what's your participation in that? I mean, you didn't have anything to do with the original TV show, right?
No. I'm just hosting the panel and asking just these a guys fan? Questions. And it's all of them together for the first time in, like, 15 years on stage.
Oh, wow.
All of them. The whole crew and talking about the history.
Yeah, because Joel and Mike kind of went their separate ways, right?
Yeah, there was a weird, like, everyone kind of went off and did side projects.
For the new generation of people who don't know what that is, explain Mystery Science Theater.
Mystery Science Theater is these comedians from Minneapolis that did this show, started on cable access and got picked up, where they watch the worst movies you've ever seen, including Manos, The Hand of Fate, Hands of Fate. Uh-huh. Which translates in English to the hands of fate. and they're kind of in silhouette in the front of the screen, and they just make comments during these awful movies. And some of these movies, especially Manos, if you've seen them done Mystery Science Theater 3000 style, you can't watch them any other way. They're literally unwatchable unless you have those guys making
commenting
music,
or
you know, getting you through how horrible.
Have they done Deathbed? Was that ever one of the movies?
Well,
they
no,
did?
Because Deathbed is they don't do anything with like a lot of nudity in it and stuff. Oh, and Deathbed
right, okay.
has a lot of like really clumsy. Not sexy nudity, like, oh, she's on Quaaludes. That's how they got her to take her shirt off. Oh, no. Oh, I shouldn't be watching that. It's really creepy.
Well, that's sold out, unfortunately, but it's going to be at the San Diego Convention Center. Your session is sold out for next Friday at 7:15.
Yes.
Speaking of movies, you're a big-time Hollywood star. You get to go to all the stuff ahead of the rest of the public here. Have you already seen Batman?
Saw Dark Knight on Monday.
Of course you did.
In IMAX.
And?
It's fantastic.
Did you see Ralph there, by the way?
Was he that?
Ralph was there and he at the IMAX, and he was sitting next to Larry King.
Oh, he was at the one. There were two.
Oh, there were two.
Screenings.
I'm sorry. Okay.
Because we saw Larry King walking out.
Oh, okay.
And we thought for a second it was like, was that a guy dressed as the Scarecrow or like a super fan? No, it's Larry King.
He talked to the screen the whole movie.
Yeah.
Ralph said.
Yeah.
Oh, I bet Christian's hands smell great.
How did you like it? Was it? Are you a fan of that series?
Or? Yeah, I'm a big fan of the really good comic books like The Killing Joke and Dark Knight Returns. So the fact that Christopher Nolan and David S. Goyer just cleaved so hard to the really dark comics, and that's what they give you,
right.
is it's a crime epic that has superheroes in it. It's like Heat.
Or, they make it that real.
It's so real, and it's genuinely scary. There are scenes where the audience really screams.
Awesome.
And Heath Ledger is like the shark in Jaws. They establish him very early on that he's just this, whenever he appears, people just start dying because he's so frightening and out of control. And then you don't know where he'll ever, he can pop up for any reason.
Right.
So every scene, you're just on edge because there's no relief.
Wow.
There's
awesome.
No relief
can
at
you,
all.
Can you understand a word that Batman says?
He sounded totally clear to me.
At the end of the last one, it was getting a little rough.
No, it made perfect sense.
he's on the verge of being like a WWF wrestler sometimes.
Right.
Let me tell you something, Commissioner Gordon. When I bring the guns out, it's...
But, I mean, I like the fact that they went back to the source material and said Batman is dark and scary.
Me too.
What I'm worried about is I think this movie is going to be such a blockbuster that instead of... People that are making the other superhero movies are going to say, okay, they've all got to be dark.
Right.
No, you have to go back to whatever the source is.
Whatever made it successful in the first place.
So Batman was very dark, but Spider-Man is very hopeful and bright, so do that. And, you know, Superman is very – I don't want to see a dark, gritty Superman movie or a dark, gritty Green Lantern. Just make – you know, Iron Man is a fun – you know, drunken playboy that also fights. So that really worked.
Right.
They didn't try to go, no, he's got to be dark and tormented. No, that's not how that works.
I can't wait. That's going to be a great movie.
Oh, you're going to love it. You're going to, and Heath, there's a scene, there's an action sequence. I won't spoil it, but it, not only is it exciting, it's genuinely like something out of a nightmare.
Oh, really?
The images in the scene are like, oh, wow, if I was a little kid, this would really mess me up.
Now, when I first saw the ads for this movie, I thought, oh, man, they sure are trying to capitalize on the fact that Heath Ledger's dead. I mean, they really are focusing on him.
Well,
I thought too much, but Ralph and everybody else that I talked to say he gives that kind of performance that it's deserved.
Yeah, if he hadn't died, it would have been the exact same ad campaign. They would have been spotlighting his performance because it's one of the best performances in a sci-fi superhero movie.
Wow.
It's just like Ricardo Montalban in Wrath of Khan, Star Trek 2, where it's so above the material. It's a guy really having fun with a performance and bringing something so amazing to it. Every time he's on screen, you just can't, you're like, oh, wow, this is great. And they don't overuse him. It's just the perfect amount.
No kidding.
Wow.
Yeah.
And is it set up for him to come back in the sequel, or how does that work?
It's very set up for the character to come back.
Okay.
You'll see. I mean, they do some, especially, they do something at the end with not with the Joker character, but with the Batman character that's really startling.
Okay.
And I'll just leave it at that.
Do we have to stay through the credits? Did you do that? Because did they come back with anything like Iron Man did?
And I talked to, I'm really good friends with David Goyer, the screenwriter, and he said, Nolan hates that stuff. Here's the complete movie. I'm not trying to give you some little... Although I thought the stuff in Iron Man was perfect.
It was funny, yeah.
Because they're setting up the biggest nerdgasm like 3 summers from now. you know, they're laying in Nerd-gasm. The Avengers stuff.
It's not a word I've ever heard.
No, I'm going to – I think it's in the New Oxford. I think they just added it. But, you know, the way they're laying in the Avengers now – listen to me.
Yeah.
The way they're setting up, they'll do like a Scarlet Witch cameo.
What did I say? You're the king of the geeks, man.
Yeah. Oh,
sad.
Well, Pat Oswalt has been our guest reviewer on the Movie Beat today, so we won't need Ralph later.
I got to go work on my pastiness, guys, so I have to cut this interview short. I'm starting to lose my pasty.
Patton, it's always great to catch up with you, my friend. You're going to have a great time tonight at the Irvine Spectrum for two big shows, 8 and 10 o'clock, and then tomorrow night at 7 and 9. Go to improv.com or call 949-854-5455. Come see us anytime, dude.
Oh, guys, thanks so much, man.
Thank you.
Forrest Griffin, UFC light heavyweight champion of the world, joins us in the 9 o'clock hour here this morning on the Kevin and Bean Show. First, though, as you know, all summer long on K-Rock, we've been giving away these trips around the country, the K-Rock Road Trip USA, and each person who won one or qualified for one also got a key that could start a 2009 Volkswagen Tiguan, which is an awesome new car. Ladies and gentlemen, this morning is the morning. We're giving away the car in the parking lot of K-Rock. How about that? And on the street with them right now, all the potential winners are gathered around our own Ralph Garman. Good morning, Ralph.
I'm not in the street. Hello? Can you hear me?
Yes, we can.
Yeah. Yes, okay. We can.
I'm not actually in the street. I'm in the parking lot.
You're not in the street then, Ralph.
No.
Things are safe. Okay.
We're here at the K-Rock parking lot, and we've got everyone who won is it lined up. They're getting ready to get their keys to see if they start the brand new VW Tiguan. And I got to tell you, this is a beautiful-looking car. And what's it like on gas mileage, VW people? What's it like on gas mileage? What's that? 24 miles per gallon. Good. Hey, that's pretty good. And, Bean, you need to know that they can't hear you out here in the parking lot.
Okay.
So I will translate
anything
you have to say.
You people all suck. Everyone out there sucks.
Kevin says you guys are the best audience in the world.
Rush Ralph.
And Bean just said
Beat up Ralph.
That he will pay for a year's worth of gas to whoever wins. All right?
Hey, wait a minute.
All right. How does this work, Ralph? I've seen these contests from time to time before, and usually it involves somebody stepping up and putting a key in the lock and seeing if the engine turns over. What are we doing today?
Today we are going to give everyone a key. They're already lined up. Everyone's got numbers, randomly selected numbers, and we're just going to start turning them and burning them. They're going to go out and press the button, and if alarms, bells, and whistles, and confetti drops, I guess that's how they know they've won.
Now, this is not the actual key. This is the remote, right? So we'll just hear the alarm chirp or whatever it is?
Yeah.
Should we?
Sure.
Should we find out?
Yeah,
so we know
ask Aisa from promotions.
Okay.
Right. What will we hear from the winner when they win?
We are professionals.
It'll be a really quick chirp, and then the alarm will actually go off.
So the car alarm will go off.
Oh, okay.
Okay,
yeah.
Chirp.
That's how we'll know. The chirp, and then the car alarm will go off.
All right, fantastic. Everybody's in line? They're ready to go?
They are. Mm-hmm. Let's start giving out some keys. What do you say?
Yeah. Fantastic. Let's do it.
What I love about this is the first person could win the car, or it could be the 100th person. We
That's
have
right.
no way of knowing.
What's your name? You're our first person. What's your name?
Charlie Moreno.
Charlie, best of luck. Press it. Nope.
Loser. Sorry,
you're a loser.
Go Sorry. Home.
What's your name?
Nikki Wong.
Nikki Wong.
Hey.
Nothing. Nothing.
Ah, oh, Nikki.
These people come all this way, stand out in the gray, cold morning, and now they've, and your name?
Suzanne Tiffer.
Good luck.
Thank you.
Nope. Nothing.
Nothing.
Oh.
Sorry. It's so funny. People keep pressing and pressing and pressing, and if it's going to change,
maybe
if they press it enough.
Maybe it just didn't catch the signal.
Exactly. Maybe the battery's dead in this remote. What's your name?
Carl Stock.
Good luck. Nothing.
No.
It's a lot of preparation and anticipation for something that's ultimately disappointing. It's much like my sex life.
Yes, it is. Your name?
Ariel Sanchez.
Good luck.
Orale.
Ooh.
Aww.
Nothing.
Ralph, what are the people that don't win doing? Are they just walking away with their heads on?
They're walking out with tears in their eyes, yes. And a lot of curses for Kevin and Bean.
Oh, that's
good
sucks.
Luck, sir. Oh, nothing.
Yeah, I feel like there ought to be some sort of consolation prize or something for the poor people who don't win.
Yeah, are we giving these guys anything if they don't win?
Hey, they get to drive back home in rush hour.
Oh, good. We're giving them a T-shirt. We're giving them a What It Do Nephew T-shirt. Hardly a consolation for not winning a car.
Show up with the idea that you might go home with a car and end with a T-shirt.
Yeah.
Excellent.
But the T-shirt also gets 24 miles of the gallon, so it all works out. Go ahead, sir. Good luck.
Thank you.
You're a loser.
No.
let's try just two more, Ralph, before we take a break and then come back and find out what happens next.
Okay, what's your name?
Megan Finley.
Megan's a hottie, by the way, guys. You're missing it out here in the parking lot.
Megan!
Good luck, Megan.
Hope she wins.
think it's broken.
No, I think it's broken.
All right, let's try one more before we go to a break. Oh, there's a dude wearing a Batman T-shirt. Oh, who am I rooting for in this competition?
What a loser. No kidding.
What a dork.
What's your name?
Steve Bayouk.
Good luck, man.
Thanks.
No. No, I'm sorry.
Oh.
Good news is you can go watch Dark Knight now because you're done here.
You certainly surround yourself, Ralph, with a lot of people who are not winners.
How dare you? Well, look who I've been working with for 10 years.
That's true, yeah.
You guys want to go to commercials and song, and we'll keep trying them, and then we'll come back and see if we get a winner.
We'll take a quick break while people in the parking lot are trying that, and then somebody is going to win the car this morning.
Yep.
And, excellent.
We'll be right back. Listener Jessica, who had a Coldplay show at her house last night.
Oh, dude. Yeah.
And we have Forrest Griffin, the UFC light heavyweight champion, coming into the studios this morning.
He was unbelievable in that King of Scotland, the one that he won the Oscar for,
that's,
too. I love that
that's
dude.
Not him.
Great.
That's
in the meantime, Ralph is in the parking lot here at the world-famous K-Rock this morning. Ralph, you're very popular today with a very beautiful car to give away. Am I right?
Yeah, people seem to like me a lot more when I have a car to give away, guys. I don't know why that is.
What a surprise.
While you guys were playing your music and playing your little commercials, we've been having people try the keys, the various keys that we have here for the VW 2009 Tiguan SE. And so far, no winners, but... why don't you step up here, sir? You're the next contestant. Why don't you try your key? We've got a winner.
Hey, come here.
What's your name?
Andrew.
Andrew, congratulations.
Thank you.
You're the proud owner of a 2009 VW Tiguan SE.
Woo! What are you driving now?
Nissan Titan.
A Nissan Titan. That blows.
I know.
This kicks that ass.
Kicks his ass.
It's a beautiful car, isn't it?
It is. Fantastic. Thank you very much.
Did you come here thinking today that you had a sense that you might win this thing?
I wasn't even thinking about coming because it's too early.
You were thinking about blowing it off.
I was thinking about blowing it off.
Oh, man. But you're glad you made the right decision.
I'm very glad. Thank you, K-Rock.
Are you ordinarily a lucky guy? Do you win a lot of stuff?
Recently, yeah.
What else have you won?
Someone just gave me tickets to a boxing match on Wednesday, so.
Well, now you can drive to the boxing match in your new 2009 Tiguan.
Sounds good.
Congratulations, buddy.
Thank you.
Well, let's hear it for our winner.
How about that? I have to say, it was worth the drive, it sounds like, this morning for that young man. Huh, Ralph?
I wasn't going to go because it's too early.
He literally almost didn't show up.
Yeah.
That's awesome.
You know, they say success, 90% of success is just showing up.
Yes.
Literally, in this guy's case, it was just showing up. That's all he had to do, and he almost didn't do that.
That is unbelievable.
Well, congratulations to the new winner of the 2009 Volkswagen Tiguan SE, and again, thanks to the Southern California VW dealers and Volkswagen of downtown L.A. for all their help. It is a beautiful car. You can get details at krock.com or vw.com. It's 7:55. Ralph has the showbiz beat for Friday morning. What's going on from the parking lot, Ralph?
Guys, you may be surprised to hear this, but apparently Denise Richards and Charlie Sheen are still angry at each other.
Oh, no.
Yeah.
I thought they were getting along.
No, apparently she has asked, via her lawyer, a Los Angeles court, to suspend his custody of the kids until they find out what's going on in his house.
What does that mean?
Well, we don't know exactly what the details are, but she says something horrible is going on in Charlie's house.
Well, yeah, he married another woman. That's what's ticking her off.
She wants a professional to evaluate it before she lets her kids back into his home.
So she just knows something horrible, but she's not saying what it is.
No, she's saying it to the court, but the court's not saying it to us.
Well, come on, court.
Some serious issues regarding the children apparently are happening, and she's concerned about their well-being in his home. I can only imagine, if it's Charlie Sheen, what could he be doing?
Everything.
Yeah, make her worried about the quality of life for her kids.
Or nothing. You never know, really.
It might just be her.
Yeah.
Speaking of kids, Matthew McConaughey's a new dad, of course, but he's not just an actor and a new dad and a surfer. He wants to be a music mogul.
Apparently, a music mogul?
A music mogul. Oh. He wants to start his own record label.
Yeah, I did too one time when I was high.
Well, unlike you, Kevin, he's already got his first artist signed up.
All right.
It is a reggae singer named Mishka.
Wait a minute. A guy that smokes pot likes reggae?
Yes.
Are you kidding?
And you know, all the most successful reggae singers have names like Russian Jews. So I think Mishka should be very, very popular with the reggae set.
Look, it's easy for you guys to mock. There's never been a better time in American history to start a record label. That's almost guaranteed cash right now, selling CDs.
That is true.
CD sales are through the roof. Apparently, Heather Mills made out pretty well in her divorce with Paul McCartney, but she's still cheap.
Yeah.
The New York Post says she's currently looking for a home in West Hollywood. No, that's not a joke.
Oh.
But she said she will only spend $1 million.
Only spend a million.
She has so much money.
Didn't she get, how much did she get, Ralph?
$40 million.
Wow.
Apparently, when the agents show her properties that list for as little as $1 or $200,000 over $1 million, she goes ballistic and starts screaming at them.
Did she hit him with her leg?
Yes.
Okay.
I'd like Heather to live in my house.
You would?
Maybe she'd buy it. You know, if she's looking for property, I should send her over to my joint.
Good point.
What, you've recently been in the market for a new home. What can you get for $1 million in West Hollywood these days, Ralph?
For $1 million, I think you can get... you ever see those tough sheds that they sell at Home Depot?
Yeah.
You can get a really good-sized tough shed for like a mill. And you get like a bird bath to splash around in. That's about it.
Hey, for $1 million, you can get a dog glue.
That's right. Dog glue. Pete Wentz isn't just an emo rocker on stage. He's just as sensitive in real life. Star Magazine tells us in the expectation of his baby-to-be with Ashley Simpson, he has been spending lots of hours sewing baby clothes.
Really?
Okay.
Sweet.
Handmade baby clothes from Pete Wentz.
Really?
Yeah. Sadly, they're all black, but still.
Oh, dude, lame.
I think he's going to put like... eyeliner in the kid when it comes out?
Sure.
Absolutely.
And speaking of horrible parents, Britney Spears says that she wants her life back from under the control of her father, Jamie. Apparently, she has found out that the judge won't give her full custody of her kids until her father isn't taking care of her any longer, so now she says she's ready to run her own life again.
Does she know that she was running it poorly?
I don't know. Someone should show her a picture of her with her head shaved and say, remember this young lady? Remember this little girl?
It wasn't that long ago.
That's who you don't want to be. Take a look at celebrity birthdays today, shall we? James Brolin is 68 years old today. Actor and, I guess, best known to being married to Barbara Streisand. Vin Diesel.
Oh, dear God.
You would love to be married to Barbara Streisand. Are you kidding me?
Oh, my God. That's my version of hell.
Actor Vin Diesel turns 41 years old today. Darren, yes, Bean?
Kevin, you have to choose. You're going to be married to Barbara Streisand or you're going to be married to Bette Midler?
The release of Sweet Death is my choice.
That's when Kevin starts dating dudes. Vin Diesel's 41 years old today. Darren Malakian of System of a Down and Scars on Broadway turns 33 years old today. Brian Cabrera turns 26. Chase Crawford from Gossip Girl turns 23. And Kristen Bell, one of our favorite young ladies on the whole wide planet. She is 28 years old today.
I'm Ralph. Hi, this is Kristen Bell, and you're listening to the Dave the King of Mexico show on the world famous K-Rock.
How can she play me like that after I just wished her happy birthday?
That hurts.
Dave won't even give her a freaking salt and pepper shaker. She's 28 years old today. I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the showbiz beat.
Ouch. No wonder his throat is sore at times.
Oh. I'm
kidding. Kevin and Bean show, 8 minutes after eight. I don't know if you read the Examiner.
What is the Examiner?
That's like the Globe, you know, the National Enquirer.
Tablet.
But okay. Yeah, but not as, it's not even as trustworthy as the, you know, the.
Really?
Yeah, I mean, it's one of the worst.
Okay.
But they have a scoop, and I think it's worth talking about. The Bush marriage is collapsing.
No, occasionally these tabloids do pick up true stories. They do.
And I saw Men in Black, and that's where the real news comes out.
That's right.
Yeah.
Yeah, you're right.
They apparently are not happy. They are going to wait till he's out of office, and then they're going to divorce.
Haven't they been a rock solid marriage for something like 30 years? I mean, you've never heard of a whiff of trouble before or since they've been in the White House.
They've been hiding it well. Give me the big music. We got the president on the phone. Good morning, Mr. Bush.
What?
it's your pals, Kevin and Bean at K-Rock. How are you this morning, sir?
I don't have any pals.
Oh, no.
No.
So it's true? This whole story's true?
No, it's not true.
It isn't true.
Whatever you're asking me, I don't even know what it is you're talking about, but it's not true.
Well, the National Examiner newspaper says that you and your wife are going to be splitting up. You're holding it together for the sake of the country till after you get out of office in January, and then it's divorceville for you two.
Yeah, we're holding it together for the sake of the country, because they always come first for me.
Yeah.
Yeah, I'll put us into a war. I'll drive gas prices through the ceiling. I'll put the economy in the toilet, but I'm going to stay with my wife to make sure the country's okay.
So you're saying that part of it is not true?
She's already gone.
Oh, really?
Sorry.
Fish.
I was reading in the article that she thought it was Condoleezza Rice, that you were having some kind of an affair with Condoleezza Rice. Is that true? Sir?
Mr. President?
Brown sugar. Why do you taste so good?
Oh, so it's true.
Oh, I love me some two twin scoops of caramel mocha ice cream.
You know what I'm saying? Yes, we do. Nom, nom, nom.
I know that you guys are very close, but really? I mean, you had an affair with your own Secretary of State? That sounds like something Bill Clinton would do, not you.
I couldn't resist. It wasn't my fault. I just look at that gap there between your teeth, and I need to fill it.
Mr. President.
I've got gaps. She's got gaps.
Yeah.
Together we fill gaps.
Now, the other thing that is mentioned in the article is your wife says your erratic behavior.
What?
She's tired of putting up with because apparently you're back on the bottle.
Yeah, my erratic behavior. She should try being a little more erratic. She should put on some lingerie and dance a little bit for me. Get me in the mood. That's the kind of erratic I like.
Yeah.
No. You're talking about, Mr. President, you're talking about erotic behavior, sexy behavior.
That's what I'm saying.
But she's saying erratic behavior, meaning it's different from hour to hour, that you feel good one day and then the next day you're miserable and screaming at everybody.
Oh, I thought she was talking about Woody.
No, she's not. But what about you being back on the bottle? Is that true?
No, it's not true. I'm not back on the bottle.
Okay.
Because I drink out of cans. Woo! Woo! Go Rangers!
Is that a tall boy?
PBR, mother effer.
PBR. Only the best when you're the
Only
president.
Only the best for President George W. Bush, and I'm still the goddamn president. Don't you forget it.
Now, apparently, according to the article, you're going to split up when you're out of office, and she is going to get $20 million as a payoff.
$20 million.
Yeah, that's according to
that. That's an expensive piece of ass right there.
Yes, it is.
She should have put out more for $20 mil.
Yeah.
A little less stink eye.
She didn't put out much?
A little more give me some.
Yeah.
You know, she wasn't very good in bed.
Oh, is that right?
That's why I had to turn to Condi.
So it was her fault?
Condi Rice.
Yeah,
right.
That's some dirty rice right there.
what was Condi like in bed?
Spicy rice. Brown rice.
What was Condoleezza Rice like in bed?
Other kinds of rice.
Yeah?
She's the best I ever had.
Really?
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Sometimes we play Osama and the Marine.
That's role playing, sex role playing.
Uh-huh. I invade the cave she's hiding out in.
Okay, all right, Mr. President. I'm getting a little bit nervous.
You're nervous about this. Try being president. That'll make you nervous.
Yeah, I guess.
Yeah.
Thank you, Mr. President.
All right.
All I'm asking, since he's probably on his way in and listening right now, is when we mentioned that Forrest Griffin was going to be on the show later, the UFC light heavyweight champ, did or did not Psycho Mike say pussy under his breath?
He did.
That's what I thought. That's what I thought he said. Yeah,
he coughed it. He's pussy.
Pussy.
Mm-hmm. Interesting. So, all right, we'll see how Mr. Griffin feels about that when he gets here in a half an hour.
Because he's a sparring partner when he gets here.
There you go. A new punching bag is really more like it.
Sure, he hears that all the time. It probably didn't scare him, I'm guessing.
8:20 Friday morning. Not just any Friday. This is the Friday that Bat fans have been waiting for. It's time for the Movie Beat.
In a world, someone has been watching. One man who risked everything.
Sorry, I have not seen any of your films.
Without seeing the movies. Ralph Garman's Movie Beat. Welcome to my world.
As you can imagine, this is a big day for me because it is the release date of a movie that I've been looking forward to most of my life.
All of your life.
Finally, today, we get to see on the big screen, Mamma Mia! Mamma Mia, here I go again. How could I resist you? Mamma Mia, does it really show?
We need to send Psycho Mike outside a theater and find any guy that's going to Mamma Mia because he's ballless.
Like, give me your balls.
When you could go to Batman and you go to Mamma Mia, that's got to be all women,
well,
right?
What if Batman sold out?
You got to see something else.
Yeah.
What else is showing?
And the day we parted, blue since the day we parted, my, did I really let you go?
I don't think we need Mamma to hear the Mia. Whole soundtrack.
It is the big screen version of the popular Broadway musical starring Meryl Streep, Pierce Brosnan, Amanda Seyfried, who, of course, plays the daughter on Big Love. You know that hottie little blonde daughter on Big Love? Yeah, she's Meryl Streep's daughter in this movie. Christine Baranski, Julie Waters, Colin Firth, a very talented cast. Here is a scene featuring singing, believe it or not.
What?
With Meryl Streep, Christine Baranski, and Julie Waters singing together a very recognizable little song by ABBA, who did all the songs in Mamma Mia. Here's a clip from Mamma Mia.
And when you get the chance, you are the dancing queen, young and sweet, only 17.
Ouch. What was happening there? What happened?
Took a few liberties.
What happened?
Dancing Queen.
Yeah.
I recognize the song.
Oh, it's going to be so good.
You're not going to this.
I've already seen Dark Knight.
I'm looking forward to it.
Need right, I say more?
Maybe I'm not Streep going. Meryl Streep
is great. Lisa's looking
maybe
forward to it.
Maybe I'm not going to Mamma Mia then.
The musical was wonderful.
Maybe I'll go see Space Chimps instead.
Now we're talking.
No, you won't.
No, I won't. Andy Samberg from Saturday Night Live stars as a as the grandson of the first chimpanzee astronaut.
What?
How does
what?
That work?
Is this a kid's movie?
It's animated. Yeah, it's an animated
kid's
movie.
Oh, okay. I didn't know it was animated. Now I can't go.
He so never
Samberg
sees animation.
Is the voice of the chimp. Who gets shot into space by an opportunist senator who's looking to see if their brains will still function when you enter a wormhole.
Well, kids will love that. That sounds fun.
Yeah.
Monkeys in spacesuits.
Mom and Daddy, why are they doing that to the monkey? And what's a wormhole?
But then when they get to get into space, they find a faraway planet with an evil dictator leader, and they help... rescue all the people on the planet from the evil leader.
Now you're making stuff up.
No, it's all my hand to God.
Did they come across a black hole?
Well, why is the hole got to be black?
Why the hole got to be black?
Here's a scene from Space Chimps.
Commander, launch control is unresponsive.
Check diagnostics.
Huh? Nothing but bells and whistles.
But why did they teach us all that stuff if the controls weren't even hooked up?
I told you guys, this whole thing was a sham. They wanted to see if our brains still worked after going through a wormhole.
We're spam in a can.
And we weren't even supposed to open the can. Sorry, Luna, but we're nothing more than guinea pigs.
Actually, the guinea pigs are on the Mars mission.
Is that our friend Patrick Warburton doing a voice
Patrick
there?
Warburton plays one of the other chimps, as does Cheryl Hines from Curb Your Enthusiasm. She's the female chimp.
Okay.
Please enjoy Space Chimps, Kevin.
I don't believe I will be going to
You know
that.
Your girls want to see Space Chimps.
They are out of town. They do not know it exists.
Kevin shipped them away rather than go see Space Chimps.
Are they living with their other daddy now?
You have to draw the line.
I've got two daddies.
That's not true.
And lastly, of course, we've been talking about it all week. The Dark Knight. Batman returns to the big screen. Christian Bale suits up for the second time as the Caped Crusader. And I did get to see this Monday, and I liked this one even more than I liked Batman Begins, which I thought was great. But this time, we don't have to deal with sort of the gloomy traveling in the Himalayas training sequences. He's got the bat suit on. He's fighting the Joker. And
he's already Batman at the beginning.
He's already Batman. He's kicking ass in Gotham City, working alongside Lieutenant Gordon, who becomes Commissioner Gordon. And one of the great relationships in this film is that between Michael Caine, who plays Alfred, his butler, and Bruce Wayne. Because, you know, when Bruce Wayne's parents are killed... that's the reason he becomes Batman, because he sees his parents murdered in front of him when he's a small boy.
Right.
He's pretty much raised by Alfred, the family butler. He's his closest thing he has to a father. And that relationship really is played up in these films, and it's a great chemistry between Michael Caine and Christian Bale. In this film, it's interesting because Batman thinks that he doesn't want to do this forever, basically. He's just trying to get Gotham City righted to the point where they can sort of take care of themselves, and the politicians will not be corrupt, and the city will once again be returned to its former glory.
And then he can do whatever else.
He can quit being Batman and go back to being Bruce Wayne full-time. And just
will he stop talking like this? Stop talking like this.
So he decides he's going to reveal his identity to everyone and pretty much call it a day as Batman.
Ah.
And Alfred, his ever-present father figure, tries to talk him out of it.
People are dying, Alfred. What would you have me do?
Endure, Master Wayne. Take it. They'll hate you for it, but that's the point of Batman. He can be the outcast. He can make the choice that no one else can make. The right choice.
Not today I found out what Batman can't do. He can't endure this. Today you get to say I told you so.
Today I don't want to.
Great stuff. Mm. This is a real movie. I mean, most comic book movies are sort of fun, popcorn, a good 2 hours in the air-conditioned theater during the summer, and you just have a good time.
Special effects, most of it.
There's a lot of stuff going on in this movie. It talks about society and chaos versus civilization. And
chaos is in this one? Like, get smart?
Personal responsibility and sacrifice and what it means to be a hero and do the right thing. And it's a lot going on in this film, and it handles it all. It handles the spectacular action
element of it handily. It gives you real characterizations, real performances, real script writing. I mean, it's a well-rounded, just terrific movie, top to bottom.
It is the best-reviewed movie of 2008 so far. So I asked this question of you, Ralph. Having said everything that you just said, is this the year that the Academy Awards cannot deny that a comic book movie can be great?
That's a good question.
Both Iron Man and this one, I think, are both.
I mean, when you're talking about script and some of these, you know, of course, we've heard about some of the acting, you know, potential for guys like Heath Ledger to get a nomination. But, I mean, I wonder if, you know, if finally a movie like this will be recognized for something other than special effects.
My prediction is Heath Ledger will get a nomination.
Because he's that good, not because he's...
Both. Because he's that good and because he was taken away at such a young age, and Hollywood loves that sort of heartstring melancholia, you know, and they're gonna put his face all over the Oscars because... You know, it's a hot button story, and they love that kind of stuff.
I just think it's frustrating if a film like this comes out that is connecting with the public and with the critics. It's insane that it shouldn't be nominated for Best Picture.
I guess we'll have to see how the rest of the year shakes out in terms of what its competition is. I certainly think it's worthy. Whether it'll happen or not, I don't know. I hope so. But Heath Ledger's performance is astounding. The buzz is not just because he died shortly after making this movie. It is all well-founded. His performance as the Joker is alternately chilling and funny and disturbing, and he plays him as a real maniac, not as sort of like a cartoon maniac, you know? It's almost too real.
Awesome.
It's a very, very creepy performance, and he's terrific.
I have a clip of him as the Joker.
Here we go.
You want to hear the clip of him as the Joker?
Sure.
Yeah.
Yeah, Eric. Hey, what's up, man? It's Mr. Khan, dude. I need you to take care of something for me, man. Yeah, I got these guys. I want you to double-cross for me.
Good now, who's he double-crossing? Is he double-crossing Commissioner Gordon?
They did me some wrong in the past, so yeah, I'm gonna take care of them, dude. All right, so I'm gonna send you to go make a fake drug deal. All right, I want you to take care of this for me, man. All right.
Christian Bale has lost a step. That's all I'm saying. Yeah. Oh wait, it's Heath Ledger.
Yeah, you'll get paid. You'll get paid plenty. All right. Just take care of this for me, dude. All right. Everything's gonna be okay. All right. Say hi to the family for me, okay? Yeah, man. Everything's gonna go down smoothly, dude. Double cross.
Oscar.
All right, man. I gotta go. Later.
Oscar.
You can hear how chilling and disturbing he is. You can hear that in that monologue.
Plus, his Oscar speech will be short. Catch up sometime.
Oh, Kevin.
Dude. No?
Really?
Wow. Too soon?
I'm Ralph Garman, and I walk the movie.
All that you know is at an end.
That was Ralph Garman. Ralph Garman. Movie Beat.
You are listening to The Kevin and Bean Show on the world-famous K-Rock, 106.7 KROQ at 8:38. We have Forrest Griffin in the studio just after 9 o'clock. Very excited about that. But first, we have our Coldplay winner.
Speaking of.
Who told us to show up at her house on Sunday at noon for the special Coldplay show.
How are you going to come at us like that, Jessica, giving us misleading information? Come on.
I can't tell everyone everything.
Everyone, it's us.
So Coldplay was at your parents' house last night.
It was phenomenal. Maybe the best time of my life. And I want to thank you guys for giving this to me.
Not enough to have us there.
Yeah,
you ought to thank us so much as long as we don't come to the party. Right. This is weird, by the way. This is the third time we've talked to Jessica. I have friends that I've never spoken with three times on the phone. I've talked to Jessica three times the last month. I'm really starting to feel like we've got something going on here, Jess.
Dojo all the time. Maybe you guys should talk to me more often then.
Yeah, well, you don't have enough to buy.
All right, so you won Coldplay Play in your house. Last night was the night. You told us earlier in the week as you were making preparations that it's been a nightmare for you. People you haven't heard from since high school have been contacting you. You had to change your MySpace, change your cell phone. But finally, you cut out all the riffraff and you had your invited guests. Tell us how the evening rolled out last night.
Well, everyone arrived a little late.
Excellent.
I told everyone to be at my house at 5:30. Everyone got there at 6:30. So I had a little bit of stress. I was like, everyone, where are you? But then Coldplay got there a little bit later than they were supposed to. Thank God.
Yeah, no kidding. Wouldn't it have been funny if it was just you? There's one clap. Yes, do that other one.
No, they were awesome. They arrived. It was awesome.
What did they bring? They brought a keyboard. Did they bring guitars, drums, what?
Keyboard, percussions, like the whole, I mean, really wasn't that much. Like a couple acoustic guitars.
Mm-hmm.
Pretty much that's it.
But he plays keyboard, so I'm sure he had that, right?
Yeah, he had the keyboard.
Okay.
So it was really cool. Basically, they came. Chris Martin's like, can I use your loo? I was like, sure, you can use my loo.
Awesome.
We don't use the word loo here, but you can use the restroom.
Are you already selling the toilet seat on eBay?
No, that will be posted up in the wall in my old bedroom at my parents' house. Chris Martin and Guy use this use the toilets.
You got to call it a loo if you're going to put it up because his butt touched it.
It's got to be so weird. I mean, I know how weird it is anyway to have Coldplay come into your house. I mean, that just doesn't happen to any of us. But at some point, you had to think, Coldplay is in my freaking house.
It kind of hit me. Well, because it was really awesome. The guy, I actually got to introduce the band to the crowd that was at my house. So it was kind of crazy.
Hey, all 15 of you, give it up for Coldplay!
Right?
Pretty much. Yeah. My neighbors were sitting, like, in their, like, backyards, like, staring, like, oh my goodness, that's Coldplay.
That's funny. So they were outside? They were out in the backyard?
Yeah, in the backyard. Okay. A little girl out front set up a lemonade stand.
Aww.
It was super cute.
Now, how much did you get a chance to talk with the guys in the band, all of whom are super cool?
Pretty much, they walked up and I got to say hi to everyone. Chris, well, they had to use blue, like, right away, so I let them use blue. And Chris was like, so how'd you win this? And I was like, I just called into K-Rock and won tickets.
Right.
And I was like, I got to be the grand prize winner somehow.
Was he disappointed that it was that easy?
No, he's like, wow. He's like, that sounds easy. And I was like, yeah. I was like, I don't think it's normally this easy.
What?
Did he, let me ask you this, and maybe you couldn't tell, but sometimes you can tell when the star has to do something contractually, but they're not really into it. And sometimes there are people who just kind of dig funny, like wacky things like this. And Coldplay seems like the kind of band that would enjoy something as offbeat as this. Could you tell if they were having a good time too?
They were having a good time. They really seem like they're enjoying it. They played six songs. I think, I don't know, like, he was like, how many songs do you want me to play? I'm like, however many you want to. And I felt bad because I knew they'd been up since, like, super early yesterday. And
plus,
like,
they played the Forum, you know, Monday, Tuesday.
Right.
Yeah, I mean, they have, like, a crazy hectic schedule. I'm sure he didn't want to, like, I knew he didn't want to, like, wear out his voice. So I was like, whatever you want to do. I was like, however many songs. And so they played six songs.
And what were they? Do you remember?
Well, I picked all of them.
Oh, they nice.
Played, dude. Yeah,
that's
they
so asked,
they
cool.
said, what do you want us to play?
Basically, well, because I was under the impression that someone was going to tell them what to play.
Of course.
And they came and, like, whatever you want us to play. And I was like, wait, I was like, I don't know what you should play.
That's
I was
cool. Like, so they would, like, wrap one up and you would go, do fix you! And then they would do it?
Yeah, pretty much.
Wow.
I was so nervous. I was like, what? You're telling me what to play? I was like,
That's pretty cool. They let you pick.
It's like hiring a DJ. It's just like hiring a DJ. You pick the music. Now, what is your favorite Coldplay song, and what was that one like?
Well, my favorite Coldplay song of all time is Yellow, but they played Don't Panic, which is my, like, second all time. I really, like, love their first CD.
Mm-hmm.
Right.
So they played Don't Panic. They played Yellow. They played Violet Hill. They played Green Eyes. They played, and I can't remember the last two right now,
but they played
six songs.
Did you get the pictures and stuff that you were hoping for when we talked to you earlier in the week?
I did. There was actually no cameras allowed,
right?
Just because they didn't want that. But my mom had her camera, so my mom was like, take pictures. I was like, oh, dear God.
Ready for her to get thrown out of her own house.
Did your mom get beat down by Chris Martin?
No, he was totally into it. My roommate actually got I was taking pictures of the guys real quick right before they left.
Mm-hmm.
My roommate hands me her, like, iPhone and is like, here, have them sign it.
Sign the iPhone.
So all of the guys in the band signed the iPhone, and then my roommate, trying not to, like, smudge her phone,
yeah,
locked her keys in her car last night.
She locked them in the car. Nice.
Yeah. She's like, wait, don't, she's like, I don't want to smudge it.
Is that iPhone on eBay today?
No.
It's
actually in a plastic bag. She's not taking it to work.
Okay, that's awesome.
Wow.
Well, Jessica, anything else that happened that you think we ought to know about? Because so far, everything you told us just sounds like it went off exactly like you hoped it would.
They might be the most amazing people in the world, and you guys are so awesome.
It really does take a special type of person to even agree to this kind of thing.
Especially where they are in their career.
And where they're in their career, right.
Yeah.
And then they show up, and they're super cool. They let her pick. I mean, that's pretty cool.
It's awesome.
Not all bands would do that.
Right.
No,
it's not like the Flobots came to your house. I mean, no offense to the Flobots, they're fine, but look at where Coldplay is when they're selling out the Forum as many nights as they want, yet they'll still do something like this. That does show how cool they are.
Yeah.
No, and he was probably the funniest people. He was my dad was a little drunk. So my dad's all, yeah, Chris Martin. I'm all, Dad, what are you doing?
I like it when you play a song about being yellow.
But Chris is funny, right? He was having fun with your dad, your mom probably.
Yeah, he was having fun. He's like, are you the dad? You're a little drunk, aren't you?
Well, we sure would have liked to have been there in person, but we weren't invited. But it sounds like it was a lot of fun. I'll tell you that.
That would have been cool to see.
I should have come. I'm sure security would have liked it.
Yeah, sure. Yeah. Now. Yeah,
it's always Kevin and Bean come on in when we go someplace. All right, Jessica. Well, you are awesome. I'm actually going to miss our updates. I'm going to miss the opportunity to chat with you from time to time now.
I know. Seriously, maybe we should chat, maybe once every couple of weeks.
The next time a band comes to your house, call us.
Sounds good. Next time you let me have a band come to my house.
Not going to happen. All right. Thank you, Jessica. Uh-huh. We're glad you had a great time.
Well, thank you for everything.
You bet.
Forrest Griffin broke his arm in a fight and kept fighting. Is that what you guys are talking about?
Yeah, won the fight.
Yeah.
That's sick.
Well, is it
Bean?
Is it tough or is it
Bean breaks his back putting his pants
he
on?
He does, yeah.
These are the two ends of the spectrum we're talking about in terms of durability.
And here's a piece of tape that we're going to have to bring up too when Forrest Griffin comes in a second. And this is from first thing this morning when we were talking about his appearance. In studio visit from the UFC light heavyweight champion of the world, Forrest Griffin.
Pussy.
Oh, was that Psycho Mike?
That would have been Psycho Mike in the back of the room.
Mm-hmm. Very interesting.
Happy to speak up when Forrest Griffin isn't around, isn't he? Interesting.
That? Whatever.
Now that he's in the next room.
Whatever.
Let's see.
Very excited to welcome the champ coming up after the 9 o'clock hour begins. First, though, between now and then, Ralph's got the showbiz beat. Last look at what's happening in Hollywood for the week. What's going on, Ralph?
I heard Forrest Griffin died during a fight, came back to life, and won.
That's tough. Yeah.
All right, let's talk about showbiz news, shall we? U2 had some Irish people angry at them for a change.
Really?
Imagine that, St. Bono.
They're like conquering heroes there, aren't
some
they?
Some of the mix over there in Ireland.
It's only a matter of time before he is elected president of Ireland, right?
Absolutely.
I mean, that clearly will happen.
Yes. Next Bertie Ahern. That's who he'll be.
Yeah. That's a great reference.
Kevin just glossed over.
So did I.
Bertie Ahern, famous Irish president.
Yeah.
Okay. Good for him.
For all my Irish brothers out there, we know what we're talking about. Apparently, they have knocked down the hotel they own in Dublin in order to build a new one.
Why is
Despite
that?
Protests from various groups. Well, because it's 156 years old.
Oh, I see.
The legendary historic Clarence Hotel, U2 owns it. And they've been owning it. They've owned it for some time. They have finally gotten permission from the Irish Planning Authority to demolish it and then build it anew.
Right.
Yeah, they bought it in the 90s, and they converted it into a pricey, high-end sort of
boutique hotel,
exactly. And now they decided it's time for a brand new one there, so they're going to build a $238 million hotel.
Wow.
On the spot where the old Clarence stands, and it'll be the new Clarence with 140 rooms, a fancy restaurant, and rooftop atrium. It's going to be the nicest hotel in Dublin, they say, but a lot of people... They like to hold on to their traditions and stuff.
I got
to
tell you, we were lucky enough to go to Ireland one time, and we stayed in that hotel for one night.
Yeah,
because U2 owns it, and it needs to be updated.
Oh, really?
I mean...
The history didn't wow you?
I'm not really one of those people that just thinks it all should stay the same. It's old and small and beat
Kevin
up.
Kevin hates anything old, and so he wants everything new. He wants everything built yesterday.
This is a hotel that could use an update.
All movies have to be made this week, and all music has to be recorded tomorrow.
I'm
that's what Kevin likes.
It's old and you can tell.
Kevin only likes now things that happen in the future. He doesn't even like things that are happening in the present anymore.
I'm just saying.
Like Kevin tomorrow will not go see The Dark Knight because it's already been out a day, so it's old.
So one day.
Today, he'll see it today, but not tomorrow.
It's beat up. It's run down. It needs a facelift.
But here's the thing, and this is a problem a lot of Americans run into when they spend time in Europe.
Yeah.
Europe is old. A lot of old stuff there.
Right. Needs to be updated.
And Americans are used to everything being, especially if you live in Los Angeles, where history is concerned, if something was built 20 years ago,
that's like a
historical monument.
Yeah.
So it's a different way of thinking over there.
Here's my thinking. If it was built 136 years ago,
yes.
How about an update?
Actually, 156 years
Whatever.
Ago. Some people would say it's, has historic weight to it. It should be kept around.
Dumb.
But those people are dumb. That's right, Kevin. They're just dumb.
We were in Italy, my wife and I, last fall, and we stayed at a place in Venice. I think that had been a hotel. It was built in like 12-something, and it had been a working hotel since 13-something.
Tear it down.
Yes. Kevin wants it torn down.
I do.
Kevin started a, when he was in Italy, he started a petition to tear down the Parthenon. He wants that gone, that eyesore. Get rid of that Colosseum, too, while you're there.
That is bowling not alley. True.
Exactly. Like put up a nice bowling lanes. Alley. Like a bunch of nice tap beers. Some big screen TVs.
How dare
like
you.
Like a nice sports bar.
Stupid Venus de Milo is already broken. You might as well get rid of that.
Dumb. People are dumb. You know, I love talking about the collectibles because I'm sort of a collectible freak.
Yes. Yeah.
And I love these auctions when they sell off celebrity memorabilia and I see what the prices are that they're getting for this stuff.
Right.
James Brown. Big James Brown auction this week.
Did they ever find him?
Nope. Just looking for the body.
Okay.
Yeah. 317 items from The Godfather of Soul were put up for auction by Christie's. They were expected to pull in about $1 million and only pulled in a little over $850,000. But the family was bummed because they wanted to keep the stuff that James Brown owned.
Why couldn't they?
Because the trustee of James' estate got approval to auction them off.
Ah, wow.
Apparently one dude is in charge of the estate and the rest of the family, whatever 97 kids he has or whatever, they wanted to keep the stuff, but it was all for naught.
Oh.
One item, the medical bracelet James Brown was wearing when he died, went for $32,500, the medical alert bracelet that he was wearing. It was bought by Paul Schaefer, band leader for David Letterman.
Really?
So now he owns the medical alert bracelet that James Brown was wearing when he died.
Don't you think he's going to spend his life going, I'm serious, it was James Brown's
medical
alert.
Right there, allergic to penicillin. JB.
No one will believe him.
Justin Long isn't sitting around moping since his breakup with Brew Drarrymore.
Her?
I love her. Drew Barrymore. He apparently has a new girlfriend, according to OK Magazine. Seen recently holding hands in Soho, New York. Was Justin and his new girlfriend, Kirsten Dunst.
Oh.
Dude.
That's a step down.
Wow. Wow.
I just threw up.
She seems like a nice girl, by the way.
Yes, she does.
Nothing wrong with her personality.
She doesn't.
She seems nice to me, but I have a problem when they keep casting her in the super hot role because she's so not that.
Yeah.
Really not.
Apparently, Justin considers... Huh? I'm not going to try. It's the end of the week. I can't do it. Justin considers himself something of an amateur dentist. So apparently that's his interest in to take on a challenge.
Challenging teeth.
You know, everybody needs a hobby.
Sure.
He's going to put her in the chair and
that's
see what
a full-time
he can.
You
don't
start
hobby,
by climbing Rainier, man. You got to start on some smaller mountains before you take that one.
He's got that kind of time.
And all sad news. Ashley Parker Angel and fiancé Tiffany Lynn have called off their engagement.
Oh, that's so sad. Who are they?
If those names don't mean anything to you, then you weren't watching There and Back, the MTV show that chronicled their life together.
No, I wasn't.
Mm-mm.
It was
never
about Ashley's
it.
Quest for fame after leaving O-Town.
Oh,
wow.
God.
Really?
Ashley Parker Angel was in O-Town, and then he quit O-Town to find fame on his own.
Oh, dude, lame.
And they made a series about it called There and Back.
Yeah.
And on camera, he proposed to his girlfriend, Tiffany Lynn, and she gave birth to their son, Lyric, on the show.
Lyric.
Okay.
I hate everything you're saying.
But they've opted not to marry and make Lyric legitimate. They're going their separate ways. So it's sad news all around, but especially for Lyric, I think.
Poor little Lyric.
Lyric.
I wonder what music thinks. Oh, man.
I hear you. Forrest Griffin's in the next room, so.
I know.
Wrap it up.
You got it.
Please.
O-Town news.
Let's make Forrest Griffin wait for O-Town news.
Today's celebrity birthdays, James Brolin, 68. Vin Diesel.
The Iron Giant.
Is 41 years old. Guitarist Darren Malakian. Of System of a Down and Scars on Broadway. He is 33 years old today. Ryan Cabrera turns 26. Chase Crawford from Gossip Girl is 23. And Kristen Bell.
Yes. Hi, this is Kristen Bell, and you're listening to the Dave the King of Mexico show on the world-famous K-Rock.
Still, I'll never understand that friendship.
We can't get one of those for us?
Yeah, really. 28 years old today, Kristen is. Happy birthday, Kristen. I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the showbiz beat.
Forrest Griffin from Athens, Georgia.
Nice right by Griffin. You rocked him there.
I train hard. So when I walk in the ring, I know I've done my homework. I've done what it takes, and I know I won't quit.
Forrest Griffin.
Damn, I'm hungry.
You have just
seen inside the octagon in the history of the UFC.
I want to fight Quinn forever. You know, he's got the belt. Why wouldn't I want to fight him?
The winner by unanimous decision, Forrest Griffin!
Ladies and gentlemen, the champ here at K-Rock, UFC light heavyweight champion Forrest Griffin joins us on the Kevin Abid Show on K-Rock. Good morning, Mr. Griffin. How are you, sir?
I'm well. Good morning, guys.
What I love is if there's some sort of horrible radio accident and you break a bone during the course of this interview, it's good to know that you're the kind of guy who will continue talking. Just keep on going.
That is correct. Thank you. Yes.
Nothing stops this dude.
I'll take it for the team.
Tell us about that fight when you broke your arm. We were trying to remember who it was against.
It was against Edson I can't say his name. That's what his name was.
And you broke your left arm.
I did. He broke my left arm.
He broke your left arm. And you didn't stop.
No.
Would you say that's brave or dumb?
Tell me what it felt like.
It kind of felt like I got shocked, like lightning hit my arm or something.
Bolt.
Yeah, and I was like, okay, what's that about? I was like, oh, that hurt, but it's probably not broke. And then I hit him with my left arm, and I saw the bone just flailing and flapping about.
Okay.
And that's actually when it set in that, oh, my God, my arm's broken.
So you tapped.
Did you feel it?
No. Well, see, here's the deal. So he assaulted me and was like, I'm looking at my arm, and he's punching me in the face. So I start fighting back, and we just
with your one good arm,
with my one good arm and my bad arm too. It's all good.
Oh. You know?
And I ended up catching him a couple minutes later and winning. So
any permanent damage to that arm?
Do what?
Permanent damage?
No,
to that arm?
Just a really cool.
It's crooked.
Like, yeah.
Oh my God. Why didn't they reset that?
They reset it twice. Just didn't take. They needed a plate, and I didn't have real good insurance at the time. I didn't have any insurance at the time, so.
Does it still bother you when you hit strong with it?
It's all right.
What is wrong with you?
It's a elephant non-union joint is what the doctor said, so I got that going for me.
Okay. I don't know what that means, but all right.
I don't either. But, you know.
Does all right. No one in your field have insurance? Like, no one will insure you?
You can write self-employed, you know, on some insurance stuff. I don't know. I just
seems like you would need insurance in your line of work.
Yeah.
No, you know, I just always try to have a fight scheduled. And when you ever have a fight scheduled, you know, on the horizon, you just call up the UFC and be like, I'm hurt. Can you guys send me to a doctor? And they will.
Oh, I see.
So,
good idea.
Yeah.
Let's take it back two steps, Forrest. How does a guy, I'm listening to the mindset that you're describing. And how does a guy get to this point? Because when you were a kid, you weren't planning on growing up and being a professional athlete, were you?
Yes, I was going to be NBA.
NBA, yeah.
Actually.
That was the point.
Really? I quit growing. I was going to be 6'9". I thought if I was 6'9", I could maybe make it and be basically the next Dennis Rodman.
Okay.
With worse hair, maybe.
And that didn't work out for you.
No, it didn't.
You were a police officer when you started training? Is that correct?
I was, yes.
You were a cop. And then you started training in Georgia.
I was a cop for a couple of years, and then I was working out and fighting while I was a police officer. And so I quit. Became a professional fighter. That lasted a couple of years of the first go-round. I quit that and went back to being a cop.
Oh, is that right?
And then I quit that again and went back to fighting.
Can't make up his mind.
Because I really wanted, I knew I wanted to do this fighting thing, but, the medical bills really did outweigh the purses. So I was tired of being broke. And then I shattered my right hand, and I took out student loans to pay for the surgery.
Oh,
student loans. Yeah, I'm going to university. Sure could use some of that money.
Yeah, so that sucked.
And then 3 years ago, you were in The Ultimate Fighter.
I was.
And you won that one in what is considered the greatest fight ever.
Yeah, whatever. Yeah, it's a fight.
Now let's go to the Quentin Rampage Jackson fight. This was just on the 5th, right?
Sure. I don't know. Yeah.
You don't know, do you?
He's a little jumbled in the head.
It's not even jumbled. You know,
he's been hit a lot.
It's not even. That's the excuse I use, but I was stupid before I started getting hit. No, it's a complete and absolute lack of concern with anything.
Yeah.
At all.
Anything in the past? Is that what it is?
The past, the future. You just kind of do your own thing, you know? I just don't like to think about things. Life's better that way.
The only people that I know that have that attitude smoke a lot of weed. That's it.
I don't have to.
You don't, right?
I don't
have
to.
Have Alzheimer's.
So in the first round of that fight, you probably don't remember then, but he caught you with, I think it was the first round, caught you with an uppercut.
Yeah, it was a right uppercut. I was leaning in on an ugly, horrible, hideous jab, and
Just nailed you and knocked you down.
That's what I needed to wake me up and get me going. After that, I started fighting.
Well, that was going to be my question is when, as soon as he hits and you kind of are trying to make sense of it, how bad am I hurt, whatever, whatever, what's your thought process? Do you remember?
Yeah, you know, I
get mad?
No, I was just frustrated with myself. I knew what I'd done right away. And, you know, the first thing I said when I got back to the corner is quit ducking your head. And I was like, yeah, I figured that one out myself. Thanks, guys. I didn't actually say that because I was exhausted, but that's what I was thinking.
I got taught that one the hard way.
Really? Don't duck my head, you think?
Let me ask you this first. Did you expect to beat Rampage when you stepped into the ring?
Yeah, I have no expectations.
How can you have none?
Moment. I live in the moment. But, if you ever read the Bhagavad Gita, he talks about freedom and war, freedom from the outcome. It's you know, it's pretty cool. So I kind of live by that. You live in that moment. There's no past. There's no future. There's the moment.
Isn't
you
that
lose yourself in the details of that moment.
Is that a lot harder to do, though, because you have a date when you know that's coming up, when you're going to fight a guy? It's not like those
yeah,
of us
have
that,
to train and
those of us
that
don't have your line of business.
No,
we don't have
you,
to.
You wear the pressure of that fight every day. And you go to the gym and you know, I'm kind of a jerk on my way to the gym.
Mm-hmm.
But once I've done my work for the day and I feel good, I feel like I've done what I needed to do to the best of my ability to win that fight.
Mm-hmm.
Then, you know, I come out of the gym. That's when you want to talk to me. Not on the way. Because I'm
okay.
In my head on the way
have
to the gym. I'm fighting fights.
Today? To the gym?
No, I haven't.
Oh, it's too bad. You should have gone.
Damn.
Well, that's kind of why I don't like doing this stuff. It really, you know, routine is very important for me. And
we're enjoying it too.
I hate change.
Yeah?
Yeah.
But here's the reason I asked the question about your expectation. All right? That's good to know. The reason I asked the question is because you talked about how he hit you hard.
All right,
and
so you're
that's
the guy
when
in the other room.
He's
so
the guy in the other room.
Where is
another
he?
Another state?
Seattle, Washington.
I cannot
Seattle,
find
Washington.
This guy.
You could, but it's a three-hour flight.
He can say things
yes.
that make me unhappy, and there's
that's
nothing
correct.
I can do about it.
But you've already said you're ugly and stupid, so what's left for me? I mean, you're leaving me nothing to say.
Yeah.
But here's my question for you. So he hits you, and you said you got that's when you got frustrated with yourself, and you realize you really need to step it up.
Well, I just peed my pants and said, oh, God, please.
It just
I know
seems
I haven't asked you for a lot. Please, don't
right
meet me again.
it seems like you would have been prepared before that point because you knew what was at stake. You knew the championship was on the line. You knew what a great fighter
I should have
Rampage
been.
Was.
I agree. I should have been.
I have a serious question, though. After that happened,
I don't
and
have
you
a serious
said
answer.
You got frustrated.
Don't.
And Kevin asked if you got angry. Does getting angry help or hurt when you're fighting?
I'm not sure. Whatever emotion happens is the emotion that happens. I don't try to control it. I go with it. And I'm not being facetious. I'm
yeah.
serious. You know, if you get angry, you don't fight angry. You
okay.
know,
I just right. think sometimes it can make you go out
but
of control.
It was frustration with myself. Nothing, you know. Not even when I get angry in fights, and sometimes I do, it's generally not the guy I'm fighting. I'm angry because what I want to do is not what I'm doing.
Lisa asked because she's trying to get her bright yellow belt,
I'm
she's working on.
I'm testing for my brown belt in 2 weeks.
Now, at the end of the fight...
She's going pro.
She is.
You can tell, right?
She's going to be your next opponent. At the end of the fight, when they were announcing...
I'll fight chicks, by the way. I'm not.
Is that right?
I got that.
Yeah. Mike, he's your hero.
At the end of the fight, it looked to me like when the referee was holding both of your hands and the announcer said... he was giving the results. It looked to me like you almost like tried to get away because you thought you had lost. You started walking away.
He did a little wordplay on me there. There's a certain way.
The announcer.
Right. There's a certain way that you always say and new or and still, and he kind of like messed with it. He did it on purpose.
He paused, and then you started walking away in
frustration. I thought I'd lost, maybe. I thought he was about to say Quentin, and I was like, no, come on, please, pretty please. I sold my soul for this. What the hell?
Forrest, what's different in the UFC once you become champ? How do things change for you?
They make you do a lot more of this nonsense. That's
yeah,
how they
okay.
change. Yeah. And they really want you to carry that belt around.
Really? They want you to wear it full time?
So I'm like, yeah, I'm not wearing it in AutoZone. I'm not wearing it. It's a radio interview.
When
I'm
you
not
go
wearing
the
belt.
When you go to the grocery
radio.
Store, you got to wear the belt.
Yeah. Yeah, it's actually quite
what
heavy.
An ass.
And it doesn't fit
right.
through the loops, you know?
All right, we need to take a quick break right now. Forrest Griffin is here. He's the UFC light heavyweight champ. When we come back, we have other questions about the Rampage fight, but we also want to talk about the upcoming this weekend, tomorrow night in Las Vegas, Silva versus Irvin. I know you've got something to say about that. When we return, maybe we even have time. We have time for phone calls at all because we don't get Forrest in here.
Sure.
If you have any good questions for Forrest, you can give us a call to 1-800-520-1067. We'll come right back on K-Rock.
I'd like to play a clip from earlier this morning.
We don't have time.
If you don't mind.
We don't have time.
Forrest Griffin is in the studio. This is when we started the show this morning at 5:30.
Yes.
I was telling people that you were going to be on the air. And this is what it sounds like.
A little back talk about me.
In studio visit from the UFC light heavyweight champion of the world, Forrest Griffin.
Pussy.
Okay, so that was this guy right here.
That was her.
Dude, there's nothing wrong with telling the truth, man. I'm not even worried about it.
Okay, good. He was scared that we were going to play that, so that's why we play it. Now,
no, I actually heard it on the way in, yeah.
Oh,
so
good.
He's comfortable.
I think they like looped it repeatedly. They were like, make sure Forrest hears this on the way in.
Probably, yeah.
Well, we've been trying to get rid of Mike for years and haven't known how to do it, so we figured you'd take care of it for us. Listen, the reason Forrest Griffin is here today, and I know what you're thinking, he can't be ready to fight again after the July 5th. No, he's not. He's taking a little bit of time off, but he's here because the UFC does have a huge fight happening at the Pearl at the Palms Casino tomorrow night in Las Vegas, 6 o'clock. Of course, it's on Spike, and it's Silva versus Irvin. Why is this one so good, Forrest? Why is Silva versus Irvin the deal?
Well, you know, first I'll talk a little bit about Silva. I hate him, but it's only because I envy him. He's got that competition in him, you know. He's like, well, I beat up everybody at 185. Let's move on to 205.
Change weight classes and keep going.
He really wants that level of competition, you know. And he plans on moving back and forth between the weight classes, doing this thing. It's kind of amazing if you really think about it. It's amazing to the point where I hate him. So, you don't see me doing that. I'd be doing my best just to hang on to 205.
Just to hang on with what you have?
I'm not trying to fight at 85. What's his deal? So now he's going to come and start beating people up at 205? That's uncalled for. But, he's fighting James Irvin, who's a guy that's got a lot of knockout power. And I've never seen Anderson Silva really take a shot on the jaw.
Right.
You know, really take that button shot that kind of puts people down. And I think it's because he's so elusive and he's really good at fighting and not getting hit. So I should probably ask him how to not get hit. Yeah, that's probably good.
Yeah, that was funny after your fight with Rampage. You were like, he really, that hurt.
Yeah.
Well, when he hit me, that hurt.
Like, all the shots were power shots.
Yeah.
Like, you mentioned the fact that Anderson's so elusive. Do you think that's going to affect him being at 205, the extra weight?
No, I don't think it will. I think that's what he walks around at, and basically he's just not making a cut.
We have to ask you about Rampage after the car chase. We were talking about it during the commercials. You don't have a lot to say on it, but we would be remiss not to bring it up.
It'd be kind of silly of me to comment on something I don't know much about, and I don't know the details. I just kind of, you hope he's all right. You hope he's able to come back, not get in too much trouble for this, get back fighting again.
He seemed pretty cool to you.
Oh, yeah, yeah. Right. We've always gotten along, him punched me in the face.
There's that. Is he the kind of guy, though, who would have really gone off the rails so much just from losing the fight? I mean, because it kind of seems like he was cool up until that point, and then all of a sudden he fell apart almost because he lost to you.
I don't know. I don't like to think of it that way at all.
I got to tell you, after the fight, though, when he was interviewed,
he didn't seem broken.
He was super cool. He's like, I got my ass beat, and that happens.
And that happens, and I'm glad to be fighting for the UFC, and he's going to
train
harder and do it again.
Way more upbeat than I thought he would be after losing.
Well, I wouldn't go so far as to say upbeat.
Well, it seemed like it when he was making his comment.
Not downtrodden, yes.
Now, is there a rematch? Are you talking about a rematch with him?
I've heard tell of it.
Would you be interested?
Of course.
Yeah.
It doesn't matter what I'm interested in. You have the belt, you fight who they tell you to, and a story. That's why it's not boxing. That's why it's one of the things that's better about it. You can't. If it was up to me, I'd fight jumps for the next 6 years.
Well, in boxing, that's what a lot of people did. That's right.
I'm keeping this belt. No, I won't fight that guy. No, I won't fight him either. No, keep going down the list. I won't fight that guy. Okay, maybe that guy.
Would you ever drive around with a virtually life-size photo of you on the side of your truck like Rampage does? Is that something you consider?
So I made fun of him about that, and he said, and he asked me the question, if it was a free truck, would you let them put your face on it? And I must say I would.
Okay. All right. That's fair. That's a good answer.
Yeah.
Let's squeeze in line five real quick in our remaining moments with Forrest Griffin. It's the Kevin DeBede Show on K-Rock. Hi.
Make it good.
Martin and Rosemead. Go ahead.
Hi. Hi, guys.
Hi.
Good morning.
If I don't like your question, I will find you.
I wanted to ask you about your conditioning. I compete, and there's times where, like, I get so winded, I just feel like just laying on the floor. I was wondering what your conditioning, like, routine was.
You know, the best thing to do is just wrestle with fresh people. You know, have a new guy come in.
When you're tired, you mean?
Yeah, every minute, you know, do five-minute rounds. Every minute a fresh guy comes in, and you have to work at that level or die. You know, and nobody's going to quit, so you just work, you wrestle, and, you know, you do different types of running and stuff. I actually do a lot of treadmill running for this fight.
Okay, do you recommend, like, sprints or anything like that? 'Cause I
do, yeah, there's two routines I do. The one is 30 minutes total work time. You do a minute at 12 miles an hour, a minute at 6 miles an hour for a half hour. The other one is you do, and you work your way progressively up to this. Start at wherever you need to start, and you run 5 minutes at, I do it up to 10. I mean, I start at about 8 miles per hour, and then I go, you know, get a little quicker. I do both these runs once a week, and then I get up to where I'm doing 5 minutes at 10 miles an hour, a minute off, 5 minutes at 10 miles an hour, a minute off. And you do it 3 to 5 times depending on your fight length.
Do you think your conditioning is one of the reasons that you were able to? I mean, 5 rounds at 5 minutes, for those that aren't in fighting, that is forever.
It's an eternity, yeah.
Do you think that you're good at training?
The thing is, I really need to start submitting people or something. I tried knocking them out. That's not working for me. So there's no reason you should have to fight for 25 minutes.
It's a long time.
That's nonsense. You know, what do you do in fighting? You should knock a guy out or submit him in 25 minutes.
Do you have to work out or something every day, or when you don't have a fight immediately around the corner, can you take a little bit of time off?
I've worked out a little bit since the fight, but I've been doing a lot of this nonsense, and this really gets in the way of working out.
You love this, though.
I'm pretty exhausted, actually.
Picking up the tip that you love this.
One more for Forrest Griffin. Let's go to line four. We got Rick in Pasadena.
I at least
Pasadena.
Like the guy in the blue shirt, because it's like a stripper shirt.
Psycho Mike,
rips it open. It's like, bam, what you got?
Oh, yeah, he's going somewhere to dance after this show. Mike, Rick, we'll give you the final question for the champ. Go ahead.
First off, Forrest, you are the man, and it's an honor.
I'm a man. That's what the doctor said when I was born.
You are the man. My question is to you, what are your future plans after the MMA?
That's a very good question, Rick.
Are you annoyed by that?
No, it really is a good question. My belief, and this is, you know, this is me, I'm whatever, but there's no after for me. I think if you, see, first of all, I have no other talents, and that's the truth. I think if you allow yourself, if you even think about other options, when it's at the end of a camp and training becomes hard and things go hard, you look for those doors. So with me, there's no doors in the room. You know, it's fight and, you know, progress forward and fight. And then, you know, at some point in my life, I won't physically be able to compete at the level that I can compete at now. And that's when I'll have to really make an assessment. But that's nowhere near. You know, I'm nowhere near that time. You know, I've actually gotten a lot of offers to do other stuff that's not fighting, but there's two things. One, I really want to fight and be better at fighting, and that's what I love. And two, I'm not good at anything else. So there's nothing, you know. I want to make enough money from fighting and live out in the desert on a little, like, you know, combine or something.
Wow.
Okay.
Right.
Maybe start my own cult. I don't know. I'm open to new things.
Before we go, I want to mention during the song.
A moat would be nice.
That's what Bean has, by the way. He's got that.
I love the moat.
I wanted to bring up your germophobia or whatever it's called. You are.
Yes. It's not even a phobia. It's just a rational fear of things that make you sick.
Like
and
germs.
Just are disgusting, yeah.
And gyms are pretty germy.
Oh, they're havens for disgust.
He was telling us during the song that he takes 6 to 8 showers every day.
Yeah.
If he eats and he gets a little food on the side of his mouth.
The
is that true? Six to eight a day?
Yeah,
that's
time
true. Consuming.
I took 2 and I thought I was a freak.
But it's relaxing. Oh, yeah.
It's that's relaxing. A water bill right there.
You know, I actually, every time I take a shower, I brush my teeth. and the dentist told me I was brushing all the enamel off my teeth.
Too much.
Yeah, and I get like, you get like dry, cracked skin, but I just deal with it. Yeah. And then I cover myself in that that antibacterial, like, alcohol stuff
right.
all the time.
But then why in an hour do you feel like you need to take a shower again?
Because I wrestle with sweaty dudes all the time, you know? Dudes touch me, or like I'll sweat, or like I'll touch a piece of equipment that 8,000 other gym members have touched.
Right back
know?
To the shower?
Yeah.
Isn't the shower in the gym pretty germy?
I have a shower at my house.
Oh, you don't? Okay.
I dump bleach in it, like, between every shower.
Wow. You throw bleach in?
Yeah, just throw a little around, you know.
Is that a joke?
It's going to be the boy in the bubble one day,
why,
man.
That's
not a joke. Because no one puts bleach in their shower.
Look,
that's why.
If
murderers
I,
do.
If I had money, I'd be Howard Hughes, all right?
Okay. All right.
All right.
It's strange for a fighter, but I like it.
Forrest Griffin, UFC light heavyweight champ, visiting us this morning on the Kevin Abeen Show. Don't forget, on Spike TV tomorrow night at 6, it's UFC Silva versus Irvin from the Palms Casino in Las Vegas. Forrest, I hope we get a chance to do this again. I know you don't, but I just want to tell you, from our perspective, it was a lot of fun, and we appreciate you coming in.
Thank you, and I like the gold mics. That's a nice touch.
Okay,
makes
absolutely.
Me feel classy.
Thank you.
We're sorry. You must first dial 0 or 1.
What it do, nephew?
We went so long with the champ, we are running short on time this morning, but we can still squeeze in your phone call. If you call right now at 1-800-520-1067 for Kevin Abeen's What It Do Nephew, get on the air, get a prize. Today, it's a Kevin Abeen t-shirt.
Yes! Yes!
Wow!
You get a Kevin Abeen t-shirt if you call. Are you kidding?
I'd be so excited if I was on the phone right now.
That is priceless!
It's a hot item, man.
It's not that good. Johnny in Highland Park, good morning.
Good morning. Hey, what it do, nephew? What it do, baby boo?
What it do, Johnny?
Anyways, the reason why I was calling is because while I was at work, mm-hmm. you know, I work nights sometimes, and my father's been hitting on my wife, showing her naked pictures and stuff of himself.
Nice.
Okay, wait a minute.
Yeah, so I want to know, what should I do about that?
Do you live with your father?
No, I did at one time when this was going on, but, like, you know, he come by and still, like, was hitting on her for a minute.
He's hitting on your wife?
She was 19 at the time when he was really hitting on her, and then, yeah.
But it's going on right now also. It's a current, ongoing concern for you, Johnny?
Yeah, because I just found out about it, and, like, she finally told me it's getting to be a little bit of a problem, because every time I take off, he shows up.
Okay, why haven't you spoken with your father about it?
I just found out about it last night.
So you're saying when you leave the house, your dad somehow knows, he's watching from the car, and then he swoops in with...
He knows the hours I work.
Right.
Okay. Is there any possibility that your wife is interested in your father?
No, because she finally just told me, because you got to make him stop.
Is it possible for us to take care of this problem for you?
Call your dad on my God.
Is it possible for us to call your dad and straighten things out?
Yes, is
the correct answer.
Yes.
You can't call us and looking for help, and then we offer help, and now you're rejecting our help.
We will talk to your father.
Oh, wow. I don't even know if I can reach him right now.
We don't have to do it right now. We'll set it up for Monday or Tuesday of next week.
All right.
We can't wait that long. He's got to address this over the weekend. He's got to.
Well, maybe you should take your wife away for the weekend and just wait for us to put in the hard work.
All right.
We'll handle it for you. We'll put you right on our shoulders, and we'll carry you right across the goal line.
Or stop being so selfish.
Share.
Throw your dad a little something.
Like your dad hasn't done enough for you, yeah. Man. Is it time for a little payback for the old man?
You, for God's sakes. Put a roof over your head and clothes on your back.
What does a guy have to
and
do?
And you're going
to
deny him a little something.
You're a selfish bastard, Johnny.
You are a selfish bastard. Hold on. We'll get the information so we can call your dad and take care of that for you.
It's kind of hot. Why does that turn me on? It's kind of hot.
Because there's it's something wrong with you, Ralph. Yeah, that's why.
I don't think it is.
But if it was,
it's kind of sexy.
But if it was your dad.
Ew.
Hitting on my wife?
Yes.
Yeah. Not picture
sexy.
That for a
minute. That's not sexy, Ralph.
That's what I'm talking about.
Come on.
Let's squeeze in Brian real quick. He's in Los Angeles on line 3. Hi, Brian. You're on the Kevin Abeen Show. What'd it do?
Hello?
Hello? Yes, go ahead.
Yes, how you doing?
Good, thanks. What's up?
What'd it do? What's up, Lisa?
Hi.
Why won't you talk to us?
What's going on, Brian?
Oh, I can't call it. I'm complaining about the prices of gas when we're in control of the country that produces a third of the oil.
Are you on the speakerphone right now, on the wireless?
You've got a shot of a doubt, $100 ticket.
Pick it up. Pick up the phone. We can't hear you.
All
Pick up the phone. Pick it up. We can't hear you.
You really want to pick it up so he can complain about the high price of gas?
No,
Kevin?
I want him to pick it up so he can get pulled over.
Yeah, but we don't need to talk to him any longer.
Pick it up.
We don't need to talk to him for any reason.
Guys, you just boycott ExxonMobil on one day and it'll all go away. Come on.
Gas is really high. And I think it's a conspiracy.
He's got a good wireless system, though, doesn't he? I want to talk about... I don't even think we heard him on the phone. I think we just heard him yelling.
I want to thank our special guests on today's Kevin and Bean Show, including the very funny Patton Oswalt for joining us. He's tonight at the Irvine Improv and tomorrow night at the Irvine Improv. Two shows both nights. Go to improv.com or call 949-854-5455. Also, thanks, of course, to the great Forrest Griffin for joining us. Silva versus Irvin. That's the new UFC fight tomorrow night on Spike TV at 6 o'clock from the Palms. And also, congratulations to Andrew Wheeler from Murrieta. He won the 2009 VW Tiguan this morning out in the parking lot. Ralph gave that away. And thanks to all the VW dealers in Southern California for helping make that possible.
And you want to thank me for my new website. And remember to remind everyone I'm in a new show in Hollywood. And you can go to lisamay.net and ignore all the Megan Fox pictures.
We hacked her site.
Recommends.
There's Megan Fox pictures up there. And there's audio that she doesn't want up there.
And there's information about the show.
Yeah.
So come in.
And that is a play that you're in starting tonight. Is that right,
Lisa?
Starting
tonight.
A musical.
A musical about an 80s garage band.
But you don't sing.
God, no.
You're not a singer.
God, no.
You're in the show for like 45 seconds, right?
Yes. Yeah. But I'm good.
Oh, sure.
Make that 45 seconds count.
Tell people you're topless, too.
Don't bogart that joint, my friend.
That's what she said.
Pass it over to me.
Come on, you know you want it.
Don't bogart that joint, my friend. Pass it over to me.
Can I have a hug?
Roll another one.
Do you like apples?
Just like the other one.
I like eggs. Do you like...
This one seems to be about to quit.
Taste some salt.
And I need another egg.
The beautiful Cat Corbett is up next with 40 minutes nonstop K-Rock. Why not stick around for the new Zach De La Roca spinoff project from Rage called One Day as a Lion. Also Nirvana, Killers and More coming up on K-Rock.
Roll.
Colorful of wild,
just like the other one.
Come on, don't be a pussy.
This one seems to be about to end.
Come on, I'm just chugging through my job.
I'll have another cent.
Cooking is cool. This should bring to the city.
But I'm on a dark joint.
What's happening, hot stuff?
Just passing around.
Yo, why you plucking me, homie? I don't know what I'm supposed to do now.
I just pass it on down.
That was a disgraceful performance. In my opinion, that sucked.
Thank f***ing God! This has been the longest, dullest, most uncomfortable thing I can remember ever doing. I really thought I was gonna die. Boredom.
Well, this was a big bust.
You can bet your ass on it. God bless America and God bless you. Good night.
They came to party and they weren't disappointed.
Join us next week for a show about beavers.
Thank you for listening and may Allah bless you all as I greet you in peace. Assalamu alaikum.
Bye.